about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ooh, quick announcement up top. Whoever drives a 1993 yellow Firebird with the flame decals, your car looks really stupid.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Don't they just put on a show that just knocks your ass off?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, we...
Can you get your ass knocked off? Is that a physical possibility?
I don't think that's even an expression, Kevin, much less a physical possibility.
And that's no way to live. To be uninformed and entirely at someone else's mercy.
We see you girls checking out the front of our trunks. We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lump.
I apologize for the words that I chose.
And now.
Oh, this is horrible. You're going to be embarrassed.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 17th of May.
First of all, good morning, Key Card. How are you?
I'm good. This one's different, though. Here's the thing. It's the first time this ever happened.
Oh, dear.
Really? You found a new way to lose your key card?
Right? Hard to imagine. I had it this morning.
Okay.
Picked it up off my desk, put it in my pocket.
So far, so good.
Got in the car.
Yep.
Drove here.
Yeah.
Gone.
Because you took off your pants.
Gone. No.
Oh.
That's not where the story's going.
Okay.
That's a good guess, though.
Thank you.
I wish.
Okay.
I wish it was that good. No, so I assumed it fell out of my pocket, but I was sitting out on the street out here going rummaging through my car.
Because you knew you had it.
Right. And there's all kinds of crap in my car, so it's not a real easy find.
Could it be in your other pocket?
Tried it.
Okay.
No.
Okay, good.
That was my first thought.
Okay,
I know
good.
You say that as if I would be embarrassed about that.
Right.
But that was my first thought.
Okay, good.
Maybe
good.
I just automatically put it in the wrong pocket.
Sure.
So how about in your jacket? Is it possible it's in one of your jacket pockets?
No, I never put anything in my jacket
pocket. Do you check your underwear?
I didn't check. Hold on.
What if he meant to put it in his pocket, but he slipped it in his MeUndies?
It's in MeUndies. How about that?
Is
good
it
guess, Bean. No, I'm just kidding. What's wrong with you, Allie? She's like, is it really?
So you may have to get another new key card if you can't find it.
Possible.
I think it's but either in your house or your garage, don't you?
I think it's in my car. I just couldn't find it because there's a lot of stuff in there.
How is your car that dirty?
It's just there's inflatable pool toys.
I'm sorry?
There's
why?
There's, you know, other jackets. There's food. There's books that I'm supposed to have read.
Okay, Kevin. All right. Now you're lying.
No, I'm not lying because supposed to have gone through these books in the past and haven't.
How many books, you think?
Probably not very many. Probably 2, 3.
Okay. Right. So they're not taking up
towels.
A lot of space.
I'm just saying there's a bunch. I'm just saying there's stuff in there.
Why are there towels?
I'm not positive.
To go with the pool toys.
Right.
Okay.
You can't have pool toys without towels, Allie.
You want me to walk around wet? What's wrong with you?
Crazy.
That's savage.
Why is there not a documentary about K-Train?
There needs to be, right?
Seriously. And it needs to be called Half Glass Full.
It's perfect.
It's the name of the documentary.
Perfect.
I love it so much.
Or Quitters Never Give Up.
Quitters
way.
Never Give Up?
Either one.
Just as good. I like it as well. All right. Well, let me get started with this here before we get into the full-on Norwegian Independence Day celebration that we do every May 17th. And I want to start with this story. You guys, I'm sure you saw it, but we need to make sure everyone knows about it because it's the best. And it's the man who is suing his date for texting in the movie theater. It's so great, you guys. Have you heard about this, Kevin?
I have not.
He's in Austin, Texas. He goes on a first date to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. 15 minutes into the film, his date starts texting. He says repeatedly, like 10 to 20 times, she's texting. Which, by the way...
That's already a mistake there.
Yeah.
On his part.
For not getting up and moving.
Walking away.
Yeah.
By the way, my understanding is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is awesome.
It is, yeah.
Why are you texting...
It's
during
great.
Any movie, but particularly during one that's awesome.
Hey,
right?
You'll never believe what Baby Groot just said. Maybe that's play-by-play.
So he did not get
Maybe
up
she was
and
live
move.
Tweeting.
He did, maybe so, yes. He did not get up and move. Instead, what he did was sue her.
Okay, that's just dumb.
His name is Brandon Vesmar. He is 37 years old from Austin. He is suing her for how much, do you guys think?
$10,000.
Okay.
I read it, so I know.
All right,
which makes
Chip.
It even more ridiculous.
Okay.
$17.31, which is how much he paid for the movie ticket at the 3D showing. Mm-hmm. He just wants his money back because she ruined that movie for him. It was kind of a first date from hell, he said, explaining that the woman refused to stop texting even when he challenged her. When he asked her if she could text outside, she left the theater and left her date without a ride back home. So it sounds like she drove, is what it sounds like to me.
It sounds like there's a lot more going on.
Yes, and I hate to say this, but I feel like at the end of the day, we're all going to be on her side.
Really?
And not only that.
You think he's a dick?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And let me just say this. First date, a movie, you're an idiot. That means you don't want to talk to the person. You don't want to get to know them.
Unless you had dinner beforehand and spent a lot of quality time together and then decided, hey, it's going so well. What else do you want to do? Let's go to a movie. That would be acceptable, right?
No. Never okay. A first date. Did you see what James Gunn tweeted?
Yes, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So $17.31. And by the way, a lot of people are saying, first of all, this guy's an American hero. And it should be a
people are saying that,
and it should be a class action suit. Like this should be, we should all get on board with this because it's going to raise awareness of texting in movies is awful, right? I mean, look, if you can hate this guy
that,
if you want,
that
but this
message
story,
is out there. By
yeah,
the way,
I don't think that's a new message.
Right,
he's not breaking ground.
People
here.
Know that
there are still people who are doing it.
Yes,
though.
But they're not going to change.
You don't think so?
No. I think the people that are still doing it are a-holes.
When he told her to text outside, the woman left the theater, left him without a ride back home. The woman who asked not to be identified by name defended herself by saying, she only texted two or three times. I had my phone low and I wasn't bothering anybody, she said.
Okay, she's an idiot.
Okay,
which,
now
by the way,
I hate them both.
Yeah. Because anyone who thinks that there's not light emanating from your area of the theater,
the
if you're texting low.
But the light was low.
Exactly. Allie mentioned James Gunn. He tweets, why stop at suing? She deserves jail time. He, if you don't know the name, is the director of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So he's definitely got a dog in this, right?
Sure.
It's also hilarious, by the way, and I guess he's just trying to prove a point by saying he wants his money back, that it cost $121 to file the lawsuit, which is seven times what he's asking for, the $17.31.
Right.
There's no way it ever goes anywhere, I would imagine, right? He made a statement
paperwork. No one date me. That was his statement.
I think her leaving him is what this lawsuit is. She left him.
Oh, he was angry because.
And he's like, she left. Now, she's an idiot for texting. You're an idiot for suing her. Stop. Both of you get fixed. No kids.
Fix your lives.
So you.
I meant they're private.
I know.
Okay.
So you went jail time?
You followed that up with no kids. I thought that was. Okay.
You went jail time and forced castration by the state.
Sure.
I think I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think I'm fine with that.
We've all agreed.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and B. Joe, shall we?
I'm going to put all my energy, all my aggressive, warlike energy into annihilating you. And I pray to God on the altar of Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit to give me the strength and just continue to have the hedge of protection of the providence. I know it's there. I don't deserve this providence, but God knows I mean what I'm doing. So just God, please, 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 please open everybody's eyes and raise up other leaders to defeat these people.
How did he lose his kids?
Can't imagine. Can't imagine. On the program today, we have Rob Hubel.
But he's running around in devil outfits while they're on LSD and then have prostitutes come in who are menstruating to smear blood all over them just to totally whack them out. I mean, I don't want to get gross here, but this is the type of stuff they do.
I don't want to get gross.
Well, too late for that. I didn't know all that about Rob. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah right.
Wow. Also on the program today, we have Donald Cowboy Cerrone.
It's like
about
when Declassified, the CIA puts out deviant art and deviant music to break society and to turn you all into jellyfish.
Oh.
Okay. We'll have to ask him about that. He's in UFC 213 fighting Robbie Lawler. We also have Vladimir Putin. He's a heck of a guy.
Working for the globalist, openly selling evil, breaking up the family, destroying our sovereignty, coming after our right to self-defense,
right.
Attacking manhood, trying to sexualize children. All the wicked things they do to create a bunch of zombies, a bunch of slaves.
That's all true.
He might be right.
That
yeah.
is true. It's Wednesday, so we have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
There are controlled people who are in a controlled dark rage mm-hmm. who want you to drink fluoride, who love the pediatric wards full of dying kids with cancer, who love seeing your IQs drop, and who just take a sick pleasure twisting the knife in your leg and pouring salt in it. They got that twinkle in their eyes, just like, ooh.
the knife in your leg?
Not positive. Tickets for you two at the Rose Bowl?
We're turning into a bunch of self-centered walking dead trash. And we're such zombies, we're such self-centered crap, that we don't even notice hell itself rising up against us. And my very spirit is just absolutely ready at every level to we're under attack, people. Where is the animating contest of liberty? Where is the spirit lifted up against these people?
I'm scared of that guy.
Well, he's a nut job.
And tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta Saturday.
You're an individual, but you have chosen to be a collectivist, not in the organized governmental false collectivist view, but in a true collectivist view,
right?
In that you are an individual, okay, but you've transcended that into the body of the species, and only then do you access everything before, currently, and into the future. And then you're truly alive. And our enemies can see before them and in the present, and they can imagine a future, but they don't see the future because they're not in that stream of time-space continuum and the will of God. Hmm. They have stepped out of it in artificiality to try to take everything and the systems they've been given and twist it to their own will instead of submitting to the will of God.
Right?
You guys got all that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm with that guy.
No.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hard to believe, but Beer Mug has found a way to be more annoying. Aww. We'll find out what he's into now coming up right after 6 a.m. First, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, sir.
I feel for the mugs.
Do you?
Do you?
Yes.
Have you met him?
Yes.
You spent time with him?
I spend more time with him than you guys do. Okay. I spent a ton of time with him. And I think he's a good man. His heart's in the right place. He's always eager to help whenever, do whatever he can.
Right.
Look. How do you knock that? How do you knock that?
I like mugs a lot.
I can tell. I can tell by your behavior. It's overwhelming.
I consider that mugs
shocking and stunning.
Mugs and I are friends,
you're
as
not.
Far as I'm
see,
concerned.
You're weird, because you see that where it doesn't exist.
No, if you asked Mugs if he and I were friends, I guarantee he would say yes.
That's because Mugs is adorable, and he's a sweetheart, and he likes to think he's friends with everyone.
We're not friends!
There you go.
How about that?
Hey!
How about the puppy dog who just peed on you?
Wow.
I did more than pee.
That was pretty sweet.
I'm going to need to reevaluate my life now.
You think you're friends
now?
With lots of people, I think,
I
that you're really not.
Am I not friends? I think I'm friends with most of the people that work here at K-Rock.
You're we boys.
Define.
Your definition of friends is.
Define friends.
Different than what right. It is.
Look, I don't want to take up your time here, but can we slot in this for a later time?
Sure, sure.
I think it's a. I think it may be time for reckoning.
You can't live in a habit trail. And then say, oh, but I have all these friends. Now I'm the man. I'm a man of the people. That's not how it works.
Mugs is doing an annoying thing, though. That's my point. And you're with me on that, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's all I said is that he's doing an annoying
also said
thing.
You're friends, and that's just not true. Okay. We heard that from
I'm
Mugs
team
himself.
Mugs. when do you throw out your bananas?
As soon as they get a little bit brown.
Really?
I am a green, just yellow
green
banana eater.
Green is awful.
Eater.
Green is
oh,
the worst.
It's the best. When they're
no.
just hard enough.
They're
and
flavorless.
It makes it tingle a little bit back here.
Green is
yeah.
like, is a sour,
mm-hmm. Give
acrid
it to me.
Flavor
Give
to
me
a green,
green,
but that green is blow.
You what?
Green is blow.
Green is blow.
The green is blow.
Okay. That's when I like them.
No.
But I never throw away bananas because even when they get brown, you make
you
banana
when,
bread.
I asked when do you throw them away, and you said as soon as there's a little bit of a brown spot.
But that's when you make banana bread. Or you mush it into pancakes, something where you don't have to really enjoy the banana taste that should
so
be
So let's
green.
Say the banana is black. What do you do with that?
Yeah, you get rid of
okay.
it.
Okay, so you do throw some out.
Wait, what was the question?
This is confusing.
Never asking Allie anything ever again. Only comes back to bite me in the ass. There is a grocery chain called Sainsbury in the UK mm-hmm. that's trying to minimize the waste of bananas.
Okay.
Because a study has shown 1/3 of Brits throw out a banana if there's a bruise or a black spot on it.
Any bruise or really?
Yeah. Once it does, once it's not just yellow anymore, once it starts to, you get a bruise or the brown spots that show up, people are just chucking them.
Okay.
And they think it's a huge waste. So they are offering what they call their banana rescue initiative, where along Allie's lines, you can return
your slightly elderly bananas to the store. And if the products don't get resold, they will be used in banana bread that they have at 110 of their bakeries. They make their own banana bread.
That's okay.
Fantastic.
So they will use your slightly used bananas for that purpose. So it doesn't go to waste.
But who's going to be sitting around at home going, well, I better pack up these bananas and take them down to the Sainsbury and drop them off?
Well, if you're going shopping at Sainsbury on the reg, mm-hmm. and you do your shopping there.
Just throw it in your purse and take it with.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Right? Save the banana. What I'm saying. Save this banana.
Ew, I'm going to call on Stefani right now and just say that this is bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Wow.
Roseanne Barr Show Roseanne is coming back.
Yes!
Finally. Show ran from 1988 to 1997.
Wait, what?
You heard me. 1998 to 1997. The show will feature the entire cast of the old show. Roseanne Barr, Sarah Gilbert, Laurie Metcalf, Michael Fishman, Lacey Goranson, who was OG Becky.
Was she Becky with the good hair, or was that the other one?
Stay on target.
Sarah Chalk, who played later Becky, will also appear, they say, but in another role.
Huh.
And also returning is Dan Goodman, which I think is great.
Wait a minute. It was
John Goodman. Dan Connor on the show. Since he died in the last season of the show, I think it's great that he's coming back.
As a ghost.
I have no idea.
Why is this happening, Ralph?
But it will be explained in the first episode, they claim, his return.
Faked his own death.
Maybe he's an evil twin.
Hmm.
Wouldn't ABC's you fake your own death?
To 8 episodes of that new show.
So. Why, Ali asks a good question. Why is this happening?
Because TV is effing desperate. And Roseanne was a smash hit television show. And ABC says, well, I bet we can sell that for a dollar.
She hasn't exactly held up as the star she was, Roseanne.
They think there's nostalgia aplenty for that show, and people will show up and put eyes on it if they make it.
I mean, look, X-Files came back, Twin Peaks came back, American Idol's coming back.
Look, we're going to live, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and we're going to live in a refabbed world. This is the spotted bananas of television. They're going to keep bringing them back and making banana bread out of them, and we're going to eat them, because sheep. And half glass full.
Half glass full.
Today's on Small Wonder, right? Get that show back.
Stay on target.
Happy birthdays. Wow, I got clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with
Kevin.
Stop it.
All these stars born on today, May 17th. Bob Saget. Bob Saget.
Bob Saget.
Stop it.
Bob Saget. We love Bob Saget.
Stop it.
He's a friend and a pal.
Stop it.
And a Philadelphian. God bless him.
Stop it.
61 years old today. Sugar Ray Leonard is also 61. How can Sugar Ray Leonard be 61?
Yeah, good question.
That's nuts. Craig Ferguson is 55. Trent Reznor turns 52. Jordan Knight of NKOTB. He's 47 years old. Oh, I got to... How do I keep letting Dave make these lists?
Well, I don't know, but that's on you at this point.
Listen to this.
All right.
Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan is 32 years old today.
Do we do quarterbacks for all the teams?
No, we don't.
Huh.
How did this get on the list?
Why wouldn't we do an Atlanta Falcons one?
I can't imagine why.
Huh.
Oh, we boys.
Yay. Stop it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can see that man, the great Davey Havoc, fronting his new band Dream Car on Saturday. He's going to be there along with us at the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2017 at StubHub Center. We've got tickets you can win twice on today's Kevin and Bean Show in the pit.
In the pit.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal
sexy.
Right there.
Right?
Hey, Muggs.
You hear that?
Oh, I hear
relaxing.
It.
Oh, that's so relaxing.
Muggs is on board with the fidget spinner fad right now because he is 11.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, first of all, I'm slightly over 12, but
it's for little kids.
Look, I wasn't aware of these until I went back to Miami to visit my wife's family. Mm-hmm. And her nieces and nephews had them. And I said,
how old are they?
11.
Very appropriate. Very appropriate for them to have and play with and enjoy the fidget spinners. But very appropriate.
I said, oh, what are those? And then they were spinning them, and they were, like, putting them on their nose and holding them on their fingers. I'm like, what does that do? He's like, oh, it's just fun. It, you know, we do it in class, and all the kids have it. I'm like, let me see that. So I spun it,
and you were hooked.
And my life has changed forever. My life has changed forever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is pretty sweet. It's not pretty sweet. It's the equivalent of a guy at the desk next to you doing this with his fingernails all the time.
But see,
it has no place in an office.
But wouldn't you rather hear this? Hold on. Than fingernails tapping on the desk? It's to cure your nervous habits, your nervous twitches. It's if you're fidgety. That's what that's why they call them fidget spinners.
Stop right, but fidgeting.
It's no fun for everybody else around you though.
Look, you can't really hear it unless you, like, I just put it up.
Why do you hate fun, Bean?
Yeah, Bean, why do you hate fun?
It's relatively quiet.
It is. I'm not tapping on the desk. I'm not tapping my foot. I'm not making any really loud, annoying noise.
Don't you feel like, have you seen the work that Muggs does here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Don't you feel like there's always something he could be doing instead of playing with his fidget spinner that will help the show?
Well, you know,
feel like he's a multitasker.
Yeah, I can do it. It's just one hand.
By the way, for folks who don't have little kids or beer mug in their life, how popular are fidget spinners? Listen to this. 49 of the top 50 best-selling toys on Amazon right now are fidget spinners or fidget cubes, which are a related toy. 49 out of the top 50 toys on Amazon right now are these. They are selling by the million. This is the new hula hoop, you guys. And it's getting to the point, and I'm sure you know this, and maybe talk to your nieces and nephews about this, Monks, where there are a lot of schools who are already starting to just clamp down and say, no more. Can't bring them in anymore.
Yeah, it's like the new, when I was growing up, Pogs were the thing, and they were quickly banned from my school. But, I mean, look, if you guys ever notice, I have a nervous habit, which is if I grow a beard, I sit here and pull at it and twizzle it, and it's just so bad for it, and it's annoying. This really helps. This really helps me cut that out.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not touching your beard anymore.
Exactly.
Now you're doing that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there are some people who think that if you have ADHD or some other, I don't want to call it a disability, but some other affectation, like maybe you do, Muggs, that you need something to focus on instead of your bad habits. And that's what it sounds like it's doing for you.
Yes, when I was a kid, and I probably still have it, but I was diagnosed with ADD before it was ADHD, no hyperactive part, but it helps, and I'm OCD as well. You know, it does really help, and I love it.
You down with OPP?
Yeah, you know me.
Okay. So how often are you fidget spinning?
So I bought this on Monday night at a gas station in Santa Monica. Go for $8.99.
Which is all the best fidget spinners are.
Oh, that is
$8.99? That's like double the price.
The guy had them. He had them stocked deep. Well, he had them stocked deep, and they were flying off his little counter right there.
Right, but for $7.99?
Yeah, I mean,
what do they cost on Amazon, Bean?
Like
$3 to $4.
$3 to $4.
Yeah, you know, I paid a premium, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And I might go back there because I don't know.
To get ripped off again?
Well, there's something wrong with the one I bought. It's losing its spin. When I bought it, one flick would spin for 1 minute.
Oh.
And now it's down to about 25 seconds. So there's something. I try to put some WD-40 in the ball bearing because that's all it's made of. It's a ball bearing. Is this sad?
A little bit.
Why is this sad?
You went from a minute to 25 seconds. That's a big decrease.
He walked in and he said, my thing is losing its spin,
yeah.
and I'm really upset about it.
Oh, well, no, I'm talking about this fidget spinner.
Oh.
And your penis, though.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Why do we have to go there?
Both, right?
But, I'm going to probably have to go get another one. They have all different colors. They have, like, black, clear.
Here's the thing.
All different
they have
colors,
a Batman.
Like black.
We were looking in the office yesterday after the show. They have a Batman one. They have a Batman fidget spinner.
Well, I imagine that they have different ones because probably the same one isn't all 49 out of 50 in that list that Bean read. It's not the exact same item that's 49.
So, Bugs, how long do you think you're going to stick with fidget spinning? I mean, it's a novelty now. You've been on it less than a week. Is this the type of thing that you think is going to improve your life to the point where you'll use it forever?
I think I will use it up until the point I go to therapy and somebody helps me out with my nervous habits and nervous twitches.
Mm-hmm. This is sort of like those squishy balls. that, yes. that you get at the store.
Yeah.
Where you,
yeah, it's just something to do with your hands, something to pass the time of day.
Yeah, but it does work like that, but I'm really getting concerned. It is losing its spin faster by the minute. So
is
anybody out there listening? Are there fidget spinners losing their spin? Call now. How do we fix it?
We don't need to do that, but here's what I'll say. Yesterday we brought this up. Muggs, of course, had one. Mm-hmm. Brought it out, started showing us how it works, gave it to me, and I realized I need one. So,
yes! Oh, no!
So I ordered one yesterday.
Yes!
Yeah. But not from his gas station, because that's dumb, right? Okay. So I just ordered a couple of them from Amazon.
Everybody's going to be fidget spinning.
Right?
Allie, you down?
No.
Hey, excuse me. Pardon me. Sorry. My bad. Hey, shall we open up the phone lines to give away some tickets to the U2 show? Is
sure.
that the thing we're doing here?
Yes, that's the thing we're doing here.
As you know, U2 is in town for two big shows this weekend at the Rose Bowl. We would like to give you tickets to one of them if you want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for U2 fans. You'll get a chance to win your way in to see this great show on the 30th anniversary of the Joshua Tree. It's a great, great tour. So call now. Good luck from K-Rock.
Have you guys seen any video of Vladimir Putin playing the piano?
Is there nothing this man can't do?
I mean, is it really playing the piano?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's okay. Really, really going after it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he's a concert pianist quality, but the fact that he can play the piano, I don't know.
I can't play the piano. If you add that to scoring 7 goals in hockey and recording a shutout at the same time.
Right? Wow.
It's pretty good.
That's impressive.
Wasn't there a time, God, I don't know why I'm just now thinking about this. You know, he's done a lot of amazing things. He caught one of the world's largest fish. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Sure.
Like some sort of 50-pound fish. But didn't he bend a frying pan with his bare hands at some point? Does that sound at all familiar to you?
No, but I wouldn't doubt it.
I am remembering something like that. I don't remember. Yes, the president of Russia, the manly Vladimir Putin, who I believe, do we have a little bit of his piano playing?
We do,
on the phone? Let me hear some of what he sounds like.
All right.
Right?
I mean, it sounds like he's on his first lesson, but he is technically playing the piano. Do you think if they aired this video on Russian state TV, they overdubbed him with a real...
No, that's a good question.
To make it sound amazing?
He was at the house of the Chinese president while he was doing it. Just waiting for him. Just passing the time of day. Playing some amazing piano.
How nice that a camera happened to be there to capture
so
that.
Weird.
That's
strange.
Release
that to the world. Well, it's a real honor for us to have the great Vladimir Putin on the show, and he joins us via phone from Moscow right now. Hello, Mr. President.
Oh,
what's happening here? Hi, Kevin and Bean Show here. What are we listening to, sir?
You are Kevin and Bean. You caught me while I was just sitting at my piano.
You sound a lot better than you sounded in the home of the president of China.
Yes, well, Chinese piano was out of tune.
It was a little out of tune, yeah.
Oh, I see. So it was their bad.
I'm here in good Russian piano now.
I see. I got you.
Which sounds like choir of angels singing.
Right.
I got to tell you, you sound very accomplished right now, Mr. President.
I am quite good at piano.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. And as Kevin mentioned, you're very good at hockey, too?
It's funny you mentioned that. I'm currently playing piano while I'm playing hockey.
Well, you can't, you can't do both at the same time.
Maybe you can do both at the same time.
I see. Okay.
I am actually playing piano and scoring goals.
You just scored. Oh,
I have piano at one end ice. I have hockey net at the other set of ice.
I see.
It's kind of amazing all the things that you are good at.
I'm quite talented in many different areas. This is true. There's no way to deny I am quite superhuman.
Right.
Now, I've never been to Russia. It looks like a very cold country. Why are you so often seen on horseback with no shirt on?
Cold does not bother me. I am not bothered like little men by different temperatures.
Right.
When people like you, flabby American men, go out, you say, oh, I'm so chilly, I must put on so many clothing. Not me. I am enjoying all the time the nature every time I'm getting. Oh, speaking of nature, hello, bear.
What?
Good to see you, little bear, my bear friend.
What?
Here, let me take you. And then, there. You're down on ground, bear.
Did you just wrestle a bear to the ground?
Not only wrestled, I conquered the bear.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Now I will box an elephant. Come here.
Why would you want to hit an elephant?
Uppercut, uppercut, uppercut. Knockout. Last jaw, elephant.
Why are you in a situation where there is a bear and an elephant at a hockey rink with a piano?
Well, she's a place of many natural wonders.
I see.
You're playing hockey one moment, then next thing you know comes elephant out of locker room.
I would have expected that. Oh. Is that you playing the banjo?
I am, yes. I'm also picking and grinning.
Wow, both. Huh.
The banjo. You know, Russian invents banjo.
I was not aware of that.
I didn't know that either.
Yes, Billy Joe Bavadovich.
Nope. Really?
Yes, it was.
Oh
get
no.
Get back, Lion. I will stop you with my shirtless attack and my... You have no chance of taking me in any way, shape, or form. For I am Vladimir Putin. You will bow before me, Lion. Thank you.
That was a lion. Wow.
What's lion? He was looking for elephant. It's in the ice rink. Pooh!
What?
Pooh!
You skeet shooting?
Pooh! Yes. Taking up dissidents. And so I must bid you goodbye for now.
What's up?
What's that?
I am going into space.
Oh! Wow.
I am going to Mars. I'll see you in a week.
In a week? That's very impressive, Mr. President.
That's Russian aircraft for you. We are amazing.
It sounds like it.
I am waving out the porto window of spaceship.
Okay. Bye-bye, sir.
Goodbye. Okay.
All right, something goes wrong with this game every time we do it, but does that deter us?
No. We still keep doing it.
Correct. Because quitters never give up.
I've heard that. A great man once said that.
Right?
A pair of tickets to go see U2 this weekend at the Rose Bowl. That's what's on tap right now. Let's meet our contestants as we play the title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Let's say hi to Trevor in Burbank. He's up first, line one. Please, contestant number one. Hey, Trevor, how you doing this morning?
Hello, Trevor. Hello, Trevor.
Good Trevor.
Hello. Oh, there you are.
Yes, but Trevor. Only when you talk.
Hey. You there?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Yes. All right, good.
Kevin, why don't you try the unenviable task of explaining to Trevor how the game is played.
All right. It's title me, fight, so here's what's going to happen.
Big Allie.
The King of Mexico is fighting Allie. Neither of them have seen this list of clues, but what's going to happen is they're going to try to get you to say the names of U2 songs, but they can't use any of the words in the title of the songs. So they're going to say other words to get you to say U2 titles. Okay? You get 45 seconds. You can pass if you don't know one and then try to get the rest and then go back to that one if you still have time.
Okay.
All right. Is that all right, did I explain that correctly?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay. So, Trevor, none of us have confidence in you, but we are hoping you will surprise us. We're going to make you go first, but the trade-off is you get to pick your partner. Do you want to go with Dave, the King of Mexico, who's the worst player ever in this game, or Allie, who almost always wins? It's Allie. Up to you.
Let's go with Allie.
Yay!
Go with Allie.
All right. 45 seconds on the clock. Trevor is here, and we'll see how he does before we meet his competitor today. Good luck, Allie. Good luck, Trevor. Let's do it.
Okay, when you want something really bad, you blank it. Like when, like, you love someone, you this. It's a U2 freaking song title. All
right.
Yes. Okay. When you don't know where something is, you use GPS because sometimes they aren't labeled.
Or the streets have no name.
Yes. Candy. The taste of candy is...
Sweetest thing.
Yes. When you stand up and you get really dizzy and you
Vertigo.
Can't... Yes. Okay. A magician is very, like, or somebody that you can't figure them out. They're very... this is hard. They... Okay. Well, you got four.
Hey, Trevor woke up.
Thanks, yeah, good job, Trevor.
At the 25-second mark when he got desire, he started flying.
That was good, though.
All right.
I think you had to remind him that it was U2 songs he was trying to think of. That's what seemed to...
That was the turning point.
That Trevor, that last one, it was Mysterious Waves is what we're looking for.
Mysterious Waves.
All right. So that's Trevor. He's contestant number one. Now let's meet Jack. He's in Long Beach. He's up next to play Trevor, and he'll be going with Dave. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning, guys.
I'm sorry you have Dave.
Oh, come on. We're going to do this. But on the upside, you had Trevor as an opponent.
Right, exactly.
Until he woke up.
Right. Yeah. All right, so they got their team got four. Let's see how you do with 45 seconds on the clock. Any questions? Are you ready to play?
I think I'm ready.
All right, good luck.
All right, this is the number before two.
One.
All right, if you're searching, what are you doing? You're searching for something.
Still haven't found what I'm looking for?
Yeah. All right, it's not ugly, but it's...
Beautiful day.
All right, it's really high. You're going really high.
This is elevation.
Yep. All right. This is not...
Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, shoot. It's not me. It's not.
Yeah.
Yes. Nicely.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Man, oh, man.
With time left on the clock, they get all five. Jack, you're a great player, and you are being rewarded by going to see you two at the Rose Bowl courtesy of K-Rock.
Awesome. Thank you.
My winning streak continues. You blew our minds by having Dave win one, man. I don't know how you did it.
But we hate you for it. Enjoy the show.
You did good. You did a good job.
Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Woo! Got a big 7 o'clock hour coming up, too, by the way, because fighting UFC 213 is Cowboy Cerrone. He's going to be in studio with us. And Ralph, how are you feeling about what's coming up right after your showbiz beat today?
Well, I mean, it's rare that you get to see a marriage end live on radio.
Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope there's some common ground we can find and keep your kids together.
Well, when you hear what's happened, you'll realize there's no possible solution.
Oh, no.
This relationship is over.
You don't have choices. This is it.
No, I mean, there's some things that are just unforgivable.
Right. Apparently, Ralph has been betrayed by his wife.
In the most heinous, devious way, I think.
And you're bringing it to the court of public opinion? Is that what's happening here?
There's no need for the court of public opinion because the jury's already in. This is
just an announcement.
I think sometimes evil needs to be exposed. I think dark things cannot stand the light.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I think sometimes you just need to, to disinfect with sunlight and with fresh air. And you're only as sick as your secrets. So you got to sometimes just put it out there on Front Street.
Mrs. Garman.
And other cliches.
Sure.
Mrs. Garman is going to join us on the phone coming up right after the top of the hour.
Temporarily.
Right.
Mrs. Garman.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Your wife of 12 years.
In her last 10 minutes as Mrs. Garman.
Okay.
This is the end.
That's beautiful. That's coming up. You definitely don't want to miss that. First time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Why don't we live in Washington, D.C.?
We chose not to.
Well, that's dumb.
Seems like a bad place to live.
Does it? Oh, does it,
yes.
Kevin?
Yeah.
How come commuters at Union Station in Washington, D.C., when they were getting ready to hop on their trains to and from work, were able to look up at the big screen video in the main hall during the afternoon commute and watch the porn that was being streamed from Pornhub?
Oh, dear.
Yep. I still have no explanation for how it happened.
That would get our mass transit going.
But for about 3 minutes, up on the giant video screen in the main hall of Union Station in Washington, D.C., porn from Pornhub, the website, was streaming onto that screen.
Sometimes you just need your porn. What are you going to do?
One woman who witnessed the mishap said, "I couldn't believe this was happening. It was really explicit porn. No one could turn it off."
Does it say what category?
Wait, no one could turn it off because they didn't want to or because they didn't have access to it?
No, it's on the screens.
I gotcha.
Does anybody need that much porno?
Yes.
Spokeswoman for Union Station says the screen is intended to show advertisements Well, and she believes the video system was hacked.
Ah.
They pulled the plug on the screen. They turned the screen off because they couldn't figure out exactly what went wrong. So there's no that screen has been turned off until further.
Have you seen porn? How could we not enjoy it?
Right? Thank you, ladies. Speaking of things that are wildly inappropriate, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I once again take the stage at the Improv on Melrose for a little show we call Hollywood Babylon.
No.
It's going to be a good one. Last one was kind of sad because we spend a lot of time eulogizing our friend Michael Parks, who had passed away. This will be much more jolly, I promise. Kevin probably won't cry this week, I'm guessing. Tears were shed last week, so I'm thinking Kevin will probably be less weepy. But you never know.
Is it all right if I give it a week's rest before I come back?
Well, there's a week in between shows. Friday's a full week.
All right.
So come on out and see us. Go to improv.com and get your tickets.
Oh, this is horrible. You're going to be embarrassed.
No. We do a really good show. Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne are back together again.
How about that?
Legally. I bet Ozzy was never betrayed by Sharon Osbourne the way I was betrayed by my wife.
Clearly not.
Come back from that.
Right.
They renewed their vows.
Wow.
They renewed their wedding vows Sunday at the Wynn Las Vegas. They originally tied the knot on July 4th, 1982.
Man, oh man.
Then they split in the spring of 2016 when Ozzy had an affair with his hairdresser. But that's all good. Because they're back together now and they've reunited and they've renewed their vows. And look, if it happens at the Wynn in Vegas, it's got to stick.
Correct. I think he needs her, guys.
Well, he needs a full-time caretaker, yes, whether it's her or someone else.
Yeah. I think he needs her, but the issue is she doesn't really need him. That's the problem.
But she loves him.
Yes. I'm glad they're back together.
She doesn't need him because she has the chew or the sling.
The slew.
The fist.
The fist. I don't think it's the fist.
I hope it's the fist.
She's got the slaw.
It's the slaw, isn't
slaw.
It? I think that's right. She's on the slaw.
Yeah. I was on the slaw for a while, then I went to rehab. I cleaned my act up. Speaking of Ozzy Osbourne, have you heard the greatest mashup ever in the history of combining two songs together?
I have not, no.
Well, then you, sir, are at a loss.
Okay.
It is to my advantage. The guy named DJ Cumberbund, and he does good work, DJ Cumberbund, has taken Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train, legendarily awesome Crazy Train.
Right.
Then he took the even more legendarily awesome September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
Wow.
And he put those two things in a crock pot, and out came a stew of good.
Stew of good, by the way, just added to Weedy Rose.
They're playing the side stage?
Right.
Here is what I insist is the best mashup in the history of music. It is Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne, September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. You're welcome.
Crazy.
It's hot.
It's tight.
Right?
It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Keeper.
Those are my favorite mashups of the ones that you would never, ever, ever...
in a million years!
...even think to put together. And then it works.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
It's not as good as either original song, though.
It's a mashup.
Why do you have to suck joy?
I'm not saying it doesn't work. By its definition, it's not either one of their songs.
Right.
So it's not in the same category.
It's not even to be judged by that criteria.
It's impressive. It's well done. But I'd rather hear Crazy Train and then September.
Sweet Jesus.
Just, I'm
Can't
just...
you just have fun for a second?
Why do you have to slit the throat of fun?
Right?
With a straight razor. He, like, he murdered his friend right in front of you and makes you watch. This fun serial killer.
Just saying. I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. Now we know what he is.
Okay, we heard it. We heard it. Playing it again.
I don't think you fully appreciate it.
No, I got it. I saw what they did. But
does rob both songs of their power.
This is a good part. Maybe.
Right? It's not too late.
Okay. All right, greatest mashup ever?
Yes.
Bean?
That's, nobody asked for that.
You get more. We're going to break them. It's like Guantanamo. Greatest mashup ever?
I see that I was wrong, and it is, and you guys are right again, as always.
Doesn't help.
Right?
Right.
Really?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Saget. He's 61 years old today. Sugar Ray Leonard, also 61. Craig Ferguson's 55. Trent Reznor's 52. Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block turns 47 years old today. And actress Nikki Reed. It's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 1 hour from right now, we're going to be asking you to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Not now, but in less than an hour, to do a rap song for us about why you want to go to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 this Saturday at StubHub Center.
These are tickets now, in the pit, so you can work that in if you'd like.
So it can be about why you need to go to the show, why you need to be in the pit, why you love Incubus or Imagine Dragons or Paramore or 311 or Lana Del Rey or Dream Car or whoever you're excited about seeing. It can be about the whole show. It can be about the whole experience, the whole day. But we are making you rap. Why, Kevin?
Because all of our listeners that rap are terrible, as are we.
And it
makes it funny.
So you don't want to be bad by yourself anymore?
Right.
You don't want to be lonely and bad?
I'd like to be joined in bad town.
Okay.
It's fun for the whole class. So start thinking about writing down. It can be an original song or a parody, something else. But we want you to rap for us to win your way into the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta coming up later in the hour here on K-Rock. Ralph, you seem in surprisingly good spirits today, knowing the drama at home right now.
Well, once again, you've misread the situation beautifully, Bean, because I'm devastated.
Oh.
Because my marriage is coming to an end, because I've been betrayed. Because here's the thing.
Those
you think you know somebody. You think you live. We've been married for 12 years. We dated for two. You think you know someone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You think you know the person you share a bed with, and then you realize it's like one of those TV movies where the person ends up being a serial killer or something.
She's a serial killer?
Well, no, she's not, but it's just like that.
It's just like that.
Because,
okay,
look, here's the thing about me.
What happened?
Like all good people, I love the Carpenters.
Like people that come to your house and fix things?
No, not the tradesmen, the craftsmen, the carpenters.
The band from the 70s?
Yes, of course.
Using the word band lightly.
Well, what? Lightly?
I mean,
it's the
Richard on piano, Karen on drums and lead vocals, which is not easy.
Right.
I'm just saying, everybody loves the Carpenters. We all meet them at Christmas time. That's how you get introduced to the Carpenters, with this legendary Christmas song.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Oh, listen to that voice.
We're apart, that's true.
Where's the Christmas angel herself?
Where's the part where your wife starts killing?
So we all know that. It's a given. It's an accepted, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Because you move on then. You move on from that. You move on to something like this.
We've only just begun.
Oh, listen to the clarity, the tone.
To leave.
Okay, I'm following.
Lifted up on wings.
White lace. I'm following. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, I go about my life thinking my wife's in the same boat as me. Mm-hmm. We've listened to the Carpenters together. We've watched specials on PBS about the history of the Carpenters.
Oh, God.
We've lived a very comfortable Carpenters existence.
Who's that excited about the Carpenters?
Right? What's that?
And then next thing you know,
I'm Team Curry.
This week,
I
got stabbed in the back.
Oh,
that's
no.
all I'm saying.
Well, should we talk to...
If you want to talk Carrie, to evil...
I'd like to.
If you want to talk to evil, Mother, may I sleep with evil? Is that what you're asking?
Carrie, this doesn't sound good so far.
Oh, I feel sick having just had to listen to that music.
Oh my
so,
God.
I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore.
How can you not love the voice of Karen Carpenter?
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
How could you have kept this secret from me for all these years?
Wait, how did it come up?
How
I
did
need
it come
know.
Up?
It broke like a dam out of like, nowhere. You're living in your house. You're going about your business. And like, oh, by the way, I never liked the Carpenters.
Is that how it happened, Carrie?
Well, yes. We were having a family dinner with Ralph and his sister, and we're sitting at the table, and Ralph always has to put on the Carpenters for dinner.
Really?
Not just the Carpenters. I put on...
Yep,
that's a terrible choice.
I put on a music channel on DirecTV. I like a little background music for dinner.
That's bad dinner.
Always the Carpenters playing, and then... Right in the middle of dinner, you and your sister break out singing in harmony.
Oh, well, we're a brother-sister act.
And it was a dam that just burst. I couldn't take it anymore.
So,
give me a little taste. Will you give me a little? Long
ago, and oh so far away.
So it sounds like... Carrie was just filled up, just too much Carpenters over the last 14 years, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I didn't watch the special, by the way. I went upstairs and watched Anthony Bourdain. You watched the special by yourself more than once.
I was so entranced in the special, I couldn't tell whether you were there or not.
Wait, hold on. So there were signs along the way that Ralph just missed.
He chose to ignore.
But no. This is the kind of thing you tell somebody up front when you're dating. Early on in the relationship.
You have to have that
if you
Carpenter's
got, if you've
conversation.
Got that, if you've got that hanging around your neck, you have to come forward and say, oh, by the way, I realize this might be a deal breaker, but I am no Carpenter's fan. You give a guy a heads up.
That's right up there with I don't want kids, right? It's just need to get that out of the way early.
It's important information.
Gary, let me ask you a question. Did you ever mislead him? Just by, you know...
Good question, Kevin.
Did you ever make him think that perhaps you liked the Carpenters?
Absolutely not.
How dare you, woman!
Absolutely not. And, Kevin, you know what's really weird? Is that he's upset about this.
Yeah.
But he's not upset about the fact that I did mislead him when we were dating into thinking that I slept naked regularly.
Well, that's a whole other
thing. And I don't. I sleep in a onesie. That doesn't bother him.
Not
the
about
the fact that I don't like the Carpenters bothers him.
It was naked up until the wedding, and then all of a sudden, flannel came out of the closet. All of a sudden, she's a flannel girl.
But you were willing to roll with that.
That I can put up with.
Right.
But no Carpenters? No Carpenters?
Wow.
Give me a little Carpenters. Give me a little something.
Oh, for the love.
Day after day,
that's right.
I must face a world of strangers where I don't belong. I'm not that strong.
All right,
Karen.
I'm going to be the peacemaker here. Ralph is making
You're
it
never
sound
the peacemaker.
Ralph is making it sound like it's over, like there's no coming back from this. Carrie, are you willing to make any kind of compromises here? Or are you willing to allow a little Carpenters into the marriage just to keep it going?
Like maybe a song?
How about one song on Christmas Eve, but not at dinner time?
Whoa, that seems a little stingy.
So it has to be like, it's Christmas Eve, and we're not eating dinner. Is it like 8 to midnight? Is there a time frame?
It just has to be before you start eating or after you're done.
It has to be after I've had at least 3 glasses of wine.
Okay. I feel like one song a year is, you're not trying very hard to meet Ralph in the middle.
I feel like she's moving a long way.
Really?
Because it's the Carpenters.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, it's like open up a vein music, Ralph. That's... Wow.
Right?
It's horrible, and they're creepy. They're a brother and sister, and
Agreed.
They write about love songs together.
There was something happening, right,
Nothing
Carrie?
Was how do you
There was some ugliness there.
You make this dirty. You people are
After
bastards.
After Karen died, he went and married his first cousin.
Ew, really?
Yes.
What?
Oh. Ew.
Richard she Carpenter, went on a deep dive.
Yeah, Richard Carpenter married his first cousin?
Yes.
Huh.
Does that change anything, Ralph?
No, give me some more.
When I was young, I listened to the radio, waiting for my favorite song.
Okay.
Oh. It's,
she has a nice voice.
Oh, so
it's fine.
Good.
It's fine. So good.
Maybe it's even better than fine, but the music.
Oh, so good.
I don't care about the music.
Oh, it's so good.
Ralph, are you willing to meet Carrie anywhere in the middle? She's offered up one song a year. What are you coming back
outside
with?
Outside of Christmas Eve dinner.
Look, if the flannels come off, I'm open to anything.
Hey, that band will be here on this show tomorrow at this time, you guys. Muse is coming by with brand new music. So that's something we've been looking forward to for a long time. It's been a while. So Muse tomorrow here on K-Rock. Hey, Cowboy, how are you, my friend?
In other news.
Donald Cowboy Cerrone, ladies and gentlemen, UFC welterweight fighter is here. Of course, July 8th is the date. We all know by now, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. The reason we're talking to Cowboy today, though, is tickets are going on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. You're fighting Robbie Lawler finally. It's happening. How you feeling?
I'm great, man. I don't think this is a fight we even really need to sit and talk about and sell, because this is one, me just as a fight fan, would be cool to sit back and watch it if I wasn't fighting, you know? So it's awesome, man. I feel like Robbie's one of the last dying true get in there and stand in the middle of the fight and just throw down fighters left, you know? So it's going to be amazing.
There's a lot of fighters who master the art of sort of not fighting, and that is so frustrating.
Yes.
You're not one of those guys.
No, I love paychecks. So I'm going to go on.
You'll get in there and throw down with anybody. Now, I think I read an interview with you, I don't know, 15 years ago saying you wanted to fight Robbie Lawler?
Yeah, I mean, him and I are buddies, you know, and like good friends all the time. I see him, love him, can't wait. I mean, it's going to be amazing. I don't have any animosity or hard feelings for the guy. This is one of those fights we go and just do what we love, you know, bite down and give her.
Does that make it hard?
No, it makes it easy.
Easier than if you hated him.
Yeah, because I don't have any emotion. I don't want to, like, hurt him. I just want to go have fun.
Yeah, but you're hitting your friend in the face.
Yeah, but I have, like, a really sick mind, so it's like... it's okay.
Is this... when you step into the octagon on July 8th, will that be the longest you have gone without fighting since you've gone pro?
Yeah, they Dana put me on timeout for a little while, so...
are you the only person that he's put on timeout?
I don't know how that works. Because I feel like I am. I was literally like in his office like, please give me somebody. He's like, I have to protect you from you. No, you're on a break, so... It's like,
and why did he say the reason was?
Just because I fought, and then I took the fight with Masvidal right, you know, 4 weeks later, and he knocked me out, and he's like, I just need you to get your brain back.
Here's the thing. If anybody drops out of a fight, and it happens quite often through injury or whatever.
It's happened a lot with your fights, Cowboy, that's for sure.
Cowboy is right there, though.
Yeah.
Just put me in. You fought last week. I don't care.
Put me in.
Put me in. It seems like he is saving you from yourself.
I mean, a lot of guys, they like quit their whole lives and they get in these training camps. But I just train all the time and live my life. So they're always like, how are you always wakeboarding and doing this and doing that and riding bulls? Like, man, because I train year round, you know. I'm always
on your Instagram. It's like watching Vladimir Putin every single day. You're wrestling a bear or something,
right? Except for real,
right? why not? I mean, I feel like I'm retired right now. I don't want to save all my money and do it when I'm 50 and 60. I want to live life now. So I'm gonna go get a real job. So hopefully, you guys are hiring in about 10 years.
You fought 15 days apart one time. Is that the closest?
No, I mean, so it's crazy now being in the UFC. Everyone's like, oh, my God, he fights so much. But when I was kickboxing, so I fought on every continent except for Antarctica. And I used to just every weekend I'd fight somewhere, whether it be
– Every weekend?
Every weekend, like Japan to Morocco, Africa, like back-to-back weekends, back-to-back.
That just didn't catch up with you at some point?
Oh, no. I was 19, 20 years
old.
Right,
yeah. Even so.
Rockstar partying, loving it. You know, I was just fighting to go see the world, and then I started winning, and now I'm here.
Were you surprised that you started winning? It almost sounded like you were a little bit surprised. You just wanted to fight.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I used to roof. I was a roofer, and they'd call me on a Monday, say, "Hey, we need you in Japan on Thursday to fight," and I'd be like, "Yeah, cool, sounds great. Can you keep me there for an extra couple of days?" You know, like
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it, and then I would go there. I'd fight and. As soon as we get off the plane, we go right to partying. And so, I mean, I had no, like, winning the fight wasn't even an option. I was just, like, going.
You were there for the ride.
So you sound like an awful roofer.
Yeah, it was terrible.
If I had hired you to get a job done by this weekend, I would be very disappointed.
What happened to my roofer?
especially when a rain is coming. I'm like, well, I'm out of here. See you on Monday. If I make it back.
Do you get hurt much?
All the time. Oh, I'm always hurt. Always.
Yet that, but that, have you ever pulled out of a fight because
you
were?
Never, ever, ever.
Should you have?
My injuries are so far away from my heart, so I don't know.
Should you have?
Maybe.
What's the worst injury you fought with? You're always hurt.
Yeah, always. Knees, shoulders, groins. I mean, you're always injured. You get hurt training. You know, a lot of guys, you don't understand, like, now I have, what, 8 weeks before the fight. So, so much can heal in 8 weeks.
You right.
know? People are like, oh, my God, my knee, I'm out, I'm done. I'm going to call Dana, it's over.
Right.
Whoa. Just take a few days.
A breath.
Let's go to the lake. Let's hang out, and we'll shake it off. You know?
Most people can't just shake that stuff
off. I feel
off.
Like he just called out every fighter
yes.
ever.
You're insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here to fight. It's what I do, and I don't know any other different.
I read a quote by you about fighting, and that's that you don't really feel like you're fighting. You're not really into it until you get hit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's when it starts.
Come on. Yeah, that's...
I mean, that's, you know that's not normal, right?
Like I said, I have a very sick mind,
right?
You know, so...
We've talked to other fighters who say they actually enjoy the getting hit part. And I always thought if I was going to become a fighter, I would try to not get hit, and I would try to hit the other guy
more. Yeah, I mean,
that
would be a great plan, but if you're like me, I have zero head movement and I'm retarded, so it's like... Getting hit is for sure going to happen.
Okay. So you've just given in to that.
Yeah, it's like, well, all right.
Haven't you had trainers say, look, you're going to have to move your head a little to the left or right?
Yeah, and you try to teach an old dog new tricks, and it just doesn't
work.
No, I'm 15 years of no head movement. I'm just...
you do what you do. We got to take a quick break. Donald Cowboy Cerrone is
You're
here.
Straight insane.
You are. The fight is Saturday, July 8th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. By the way, when we come back, we'll talk some more about the rest of this card because it is crazy stacked for UFC 213. Yeah, tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster. More with Cowboy right after this on K-Rock.
I mean, I wish everyone could have heard the conversation during that song.
I don't think that's necessary.
I mean, this would be our last day of work, but I just...
But you would have enjoyed it.
You would have enjoyed it a lot.
Welcome to L.A., Cowboy.
That is the voice of Donald Cowboy Cerrone, UFC welterweight fighter on the bill, UFC 213 on Saturday, July 8th at the T-Mobile Arena. This is one, as Cowboy said when he sat down, people have been waiting for years for this fight, for you versus Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
And tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. And I mentioned right before the break, crazy stacked card. You as a fight fan who loves to watch UFC, what are you excited about on your own bill, Cowboy?
Oh, man, if you're buy it, if you're walking on the street and you see it playing, stop and watch it. Anything you can do to get your hands on this fight, man. It's going to be from bell to bell. You know, this is a international fight week, so they're having packed fights all weekend. And this is the big daddy of them all.
Now, when you're on the fight card, can you watch any?
They have them playing in the locker room, so you see, you know, what's going on. It's hard to be a fan, but then be like, oh, yeah, I also have to fight here in two fights. So yeah.
At some point, you have to focus on your own thing.
Yeah, you're like, all right, time to warm up. But
have you seen much change in the UFC since it got sold?
No.
Really? Because that was a fear, obviously, you know, is that it was going to change because people loved it. And then it got sold for the big money and they wondered if it was going to be different. But no.
Do you feel it's been different?
I mean, I feel like they've hit a run of bad luck with fights lately.
Sure,
with so many things dropping out and so many fights being, you know, kind of underwhelming. But that could have happened at any time. I don't think that's as a result of management.
The only thing
I
wish
breaks.
They didn't do is have a fight every weekend. I wish they, you know, they had the big cards where people get excited about the fights again, because there's a lot of
space
people
space it out a little
space
more.
Out a little bit. You know,
yeah, it's
hard
oversaturated.
It's hard for a fan to get behind someone. We're like, man, I don't know who all these people are. You know,
but then you wouldn't be able to fight as often.
I know.
Every other weekend.
Every other weekend.
Shut up, Cowboy.
You didn't think that was
no, I didn't.
I think it would have helped. I think that would help the oversaturation because there does seem like there are too many fights, and you're not positive who most people are. And
right.
That is true.
So yeah, thank God I wear a stupid hat, and people are like, I think that's Cowboy. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Did you have you always worn a hat? By the way, is that what from coming up in Colorado? Was
yeah,
that
yeah.
just part of your thing?
Yeah, it was just when I was a little kid. I mean, like my name is Cowboy. That's what my grandma who raised me calls me. Like that's my name, right? So I didn't really hear Donald until I started getting in the UFC, and they like announced me and called me Donald. I'm like, oh, and now it's back to Cowboy again, so it's good. But yeah, that's my friends, my grandma, my whole that's my name is Cowboy.
What's your life like in New Mexico?
It's a wild whirlwind, man. Every day, something crazy and different. I was just telling the people in the when we were sitting before the show, I'm opening an eagle sanctuary. I'm going through all the paper and grants to do that. So
an eagle
oh my
sanctuary,
gosh.
Yeah.
So you want eagles?
Eagles. I want to rehabilitate eagles.
how do you this is a dumb question maybe, but how do you keep them on your property if you've got an eagle sanctuary? Can't they fly?
Fence?
Yeah, like a giant dome, you know. You have to,
dome?
Yeah, like a dome. I mean, there's a process. You don't
just, so you do like at the zoo, you put a net over your thing.
It wouldn't be a net. It would be, you know, chain link, like a whole caged in area. But yeah, most of the – so you can't own an eagle, right? But you can rehabilitate one for life. A lot of them can't – you know, the injured ones can't fly or they can't ever go into the release again. So you end up keeping them – duration of their life, but you can't ever own them. Does that make any kind of sense?
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah, so yeah, that's you're the steward. Of
I just want to go over there and pet them. And
what,
you know,
what got you interested in that?
How badass is an eagle? I mean, you know,
it's all about badassery.
Yeah, so I want to.
I mean, how badass is an eagle?
So just imagine you come over to my house, I'm like, hey man, let's take these Harleys out for a ride, throw our cowboy hats on, have a bitchin' American flag banner behind us, and then I'll just let the eagles soar over top of us.
That's awesome.
I mean, come
I
on.
I live there. Can I live there?
You can control them with a remote somehow?
I know.
Your life is going to look like a Kid Rock video.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Born free Kid Rock will be playing in the background.
What animals do you have on the farm right now?
Everything. The only thing, I don't have a cow, but I have peacocks, chickens, goats, turkeys, pigs.
And you take care of all these?
Oh, yeah. I have a ranch hand when I'm gone. But every morning, I'm up at 6:30 taking care of them.
Why?
I love animals. I mean, I have everything. I have a giant 45-pound bunny. His name's Alan. He lives with my two tortoises. I have two giant tortoises that'll live to be 200 years old. So if anybody wants to inherit them after I die, that'd be pretty cool.
All right. Take color 20 and 20.
Color 20, right?
I literally have like a full functioning ranch, and I love it. I love animals. Peacocks running around, con, chickens, everything. It's good.
I mean, look, I get that. I had a hobby farm myself with cows and pigs and sheep and goats. I mean, it's wonderful and therapeutic.
Yours was more like a petting zoo than his, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't raising any of them for food. You eat any of yours, Cowboy?
The pigs. We raise pigs.
Yeah. Bacon.
Yeah, we have to part ways here, my friend.
If you put bacon on anything, it's good.
Amen.
Anything.
Amen.
Right? You wrap something in bacon. Wow, he wrapped that in bacon?
Oh, I want bacon so bad right now. Yeah. Even a water chestnut.
So I'm saying, wrapped in bacon. Yeah.
Amazing.
God. Some of your...
put a toothpick in it, you're eating it. Yeah.
The best. The best.
Some of your contemporaries are extremely careful about what they eat. I mean, it's crazy the way they diet and the things they eat. How about you?
Nope, I eat it everything.
And everything.
Yeah, you wrap it in bacon, I'm eating it. So,
do you just train enough that you can eat anything and it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I just have like a super white trash metabolism. It just burns everything I eat. I don't know. I don't
just maybe, luck of the
luck
DNA.
Of the, yeah, I'm super lucky. Yeah, I eat whatever. I don't ever diet or budget or think about it.
Do you ever have to cut weight or gain weight to make a fight?
Especially now that I'm at 70, I can definitely eat whatever I want. But at 55 is a little tough. You know, I'd have to wean down the last couple weeks. But eat whatever I want. I mean, I'd rather eat whatever I want and then worry about working it off later. Make me work harder.
Then starve yourself, yeah. Then deprive yourself of
That's true of the rest
food.
Of us, too, but we can't do it. We can't cut it down then.
You're like, I can eat this. I can have a slice of pizza or I can eat the whole pizza and then go run. And then you eat the whole pizza, and then you don't go run because you're fat. And
Why are you looking at me? Why are you staring right at me?
I don't think he was looking
you're
right at me. I don't think he was.
How long are you going to fight, Cowboy?
Until I'm walking out on the walker and Dana tells me no more, Cowboy.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to put you on a permanent timeout. That's what you're waiting for.
I'll do it until they won't let me go anymore.
You don't think there's ever a time when you will say to yourself, okay, I'm done.
I'm trying to be a movie star. I should tell that out here in L.A., right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe if I got like a $50 million movie, I'd just call it a day.
But
until 40, then, $40 million, no, I'm going to keep fighting.
$40 million, no way?
Keep fighting, yeah.
Slowest walkout ever.
No, I love it, man. I mean, there's something seriously wrong with my brain when I get in there. It's like a passion for me. I love fighting. It's the funnest thing in the world for me. There's no place I'd rather be than inside that octagon.
Is that true of training as well?
Yeah, training is fun. I mean, just the physicality of training, you know, and enjoying my job.
Because training for most of us is really, it's hard work and it sucks. Most of the time you go, okay, I need to work out, but that's going to suck, but I have to do it anyway.
Especially by yourself, by your sad little treadmill in the corner at home.
Right.
Yeah, that's really hard to do.
Right.
But, I mean, training, I love it. Jiu-jitsu and wrestling, it's all fun. I enjoy going to work every day, but no fighting, hoo-wee.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Nothing like it.
Well, UFC 213, the fight card, as we mentioned, is stacked. Emmanuel Nunez is on the bill. Anthony Pettis is fighting. Fabricio Werdum, Cowboy and Lawler, of course. I mean, it's a great, great night there in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster. By the way, you mentioned that you are friends with Robbie.
Yes.
Do you guys see each other all the time now? And I mean,
He lives out in Florida, but I mean, we're at so many events together, and UFC, you know, it's such a small-knit community of fighters, so we know it, you know. But, yeah, I mean,
it seems like the UFC counts on that weigh-in viral video of the fighters being held back from fighting one another. We're not going to see anything like that with you guys.
Not a chance.
You guys go out and just shake hands and say, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You've never been a part of that whole smack-talking thing.
No. Why? We don't fight till the next day. Well, I get all worked up and bowed about it now.
Well,
I'm
not just talking about in the weigh-ins. I'm talking about in the weeks leading up to. Some fighters, Conor McGregor being one of them, talks. That's sure. How he builds up interest for the fight.
Yeah, I just...
You're not interested?
No, I'm not. I don't like to talk about it. I like to be about it. So if someone has a problem with me, I can meet in the back staircase. We can figure it out. You know, that's if you really have that big
say.
Yeah.
You are like the kindest, most terrifying person ever.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Is it true that you were supposed to fight Conor McGregor?
Yes, I was. They called me. I had just fought. I was flying home on a Sunday. I was in a layover, and Dana called me and asked me if I would like to take the fight. And
following day, and you said yes.
Of course. Of course.
And you said yes. And what happened?
I don't know. That was on his end. So my end was yes. Whatever happens on their
end. Just didn't work out.
Didn't work out. You know, and I have a feeling, you know, the UFC maybe makes three or four calls to line up opponents, you know.
Right.
So he can pick. And I was one of them. And I did not get they did not pick my number. So.
Do you have anyone you consider an enemy who's a fighter? Anybody
no.
that you do not. Have hatred for? No.
No, I don't hate. I don't hate.
Do you hate anyone on earth?
If there's hate in your heart, let it out. No, I don't. I don't. I don't hate any of the fighters. I don't anymore. I used to. I don't anymore. I'm over it.
Our boy's growing up, you guys.
I'm over it. I hate truck drivers that drive in this fast lane. That's what I hate.
All right, I'm with you on that. We're all agreeing on that.
It should be illegal.
All right.
Put your big rig in the fast lane.
Agreed.
Last question, Cowboy. And again, Friday, 10 a.m., Ticketmaster.com to be there in person, T-Mobile Arena, July 8th. Your prediction for the night?
Of myself?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, kicking ass and taking names for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I'm looking to put Robbie away. So.
First round?
Ooh, man, he's a real tough dude. I'd like to say I'm tougher, but yeah, he's one of those guys that's gritty, and it's going to be a long night of work. So.
You always are known also for going in without a fight plan,
yeah,
basically.
No, well, I don't need a plan. Robbie, meet you in the middle and bite down and give her. That's it.
But I'm saying a lot of people would feel like they need a fight plan, like this is how I'm going to beat him. No.
No. Nuh-uh. Just go fight.
Okay.
Keep doing what you're doing, Cowboy.
Right. You got it.
You're doing the right thing. We appreciate you coming in.
Listen, this car is going to be amazing, bell to bell. Buy your tickets, guys. Come check it out. Alive, seeing it live is unbelievable. Nothing like it. You know, watch on TV is cool, but being there, the atmosphere, watching Cowboy kick ass, you guys are going to love it. If you can't buy a ticket, watch on TV. If you can't watch on TV, find a bar. Let's do this.
There you
and
go.
Bring them bacon.
Bring the bacon. Bacon wrap for everybody.
Thank you, Cowboy. And it is 7:52.
All right, ahead of Ralph and the Showbiz Beat, we're going to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. We gave you some warning a while back. Now it's time to call to rap for us about why you need to be there with us on Saturday at the Sold Out K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2017. It can be original rap. It can be a parody of a rap song. But you can rap about us. You can rap about the show. Rap about Lord or Incubus, Imagine Dragons, Cage the Elephant, whoever it is you're into seeing. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to perform right after the top. Of the hour. First, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
I don't mean to boast, but we're here to host the 2017 K-Rock Weenie Roast. Yeah!
I don't...
What'd I win?
Nah.
Come on!
I mean,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Chip. Chip's on my side.
Feel like you won.
I only have two friends, Chip and Beer Mug. The only people who ever look out for me. Hey, it's happening again! We can't stop it! Friday night, 10 p.m., at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Me and my buddy, Kevin Smith, who is just a sweetheart of a man and very, very funny. We have a good time. It's 10 p.m., The Late Show, at the Improv on Melrose. Come on out and see us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets and more details.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
On Hollywood
no!
Babylon.
No!
Where we talk about all things.
No!
What happened to that guy at the end there?
No, but he sure quit.
Yep. Talk about all things show busy, like
It's official. Arrested Development is coming back for another season.
So excited.
Happening on Netflix. Variety broke the news this morning that the streaming service has greenlit a much-anticipated fifth season, which is set to launch in 2018. So you're going to have to wait a little bit. But creator Mitch Hurwitz is back, along with the entire series regular cast. Jason Bateman, Michael Cera, Jeffrey Tambor, Jessica Walter, Will Arnett, Portia de Rossi, David Cross, Tony Hale. How crazy is it, Tony Hale? I'll just go back in between Veep and Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I'll just go back and forth between the two best comedies in the history of television.
If you have not watched Arrested Development, that's a great series to go back and binge. So good.
Yeah.
As you read the list of players in that show, it's amazing they're able to schedule a way to do this because all of them are on other shows.
Beauty is they do truncated seasons. It's not a giant commitment. Mm-hmm. I mean, they work hard.
But you still have to work it out so that everybody can be there. It's impressive. Scheduling is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay. Bean likes,
great note.
Bean likes schedules and charts and graphs and how they put that all together.
That.
So that was good. He does not like mashups, though. We found that out.
That's
earlier.
Correct.
I like mashups a lot.
You know. Hey, remember when Glenn Frey died? Legendary member of the band The Eagles.
Yep.
He was one of their biggest songwriters. Really, the force that kept the band moving forward. He was their lead guitarist.
He started his band.
Sang on a ton of their classics. And at the time, and I think rightly so, Don Henley said, well, you know, that's it. Glenn Frey was The Eagles, and The Eagles are done now because Glenn had passed away. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot money exists. He said, when The Eagles will play two festivals this summer, the Classic East and Classic West music festivals, and the late Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey will be filling in for his dad.
Wow.
So Don Henley made the announcement at a radio station in Dallas saying, Glenn's son, Deacon, is a very talented young man, and he seems to be up for the task. He's enthusiastic about it. He's been working real hard on it, and he's going to do it with us. I think that's appropriate. So they found a way.
How about that?
To keep cashing the checks, even though the main guy's gone, which I... Garrett Blunt, by the way. Garrett Blunt. Running back of the Garrett Blunt.
Talk about it.
Garrett Blunt of the New England Patriots.
Formerly.
He's now an Eagle. He'll be running the ball for the Eagles.
Right.
Speaking of Eagles.
I mean, he can just hold like 10 guys on his back and keep running.
Yes.
It's not a good pickup or anything.
He's a good goal line stand runner.
Belichick.
Good short distance.
Oh, he's so good.
Third down goal line type back.
I'm going to kind of root for the Eagles a smidge.
Right?
A smidge.
Right?
Because of Blunt.
That's what I'm saying.
But then they're the Eagles.
Always root for the Blunt,
so then
baby.
What do you do?
That's what I say.
Well, he says it too.
You know, I think we've talked about every kind of Eagle there is in the last 30 minutes on this show.
It's true.
There's a lot of Eagle talk.
Between Cowboy, and now you're talking about the band, and then you're talking about the football team.
Real quickly, The Classic West show that the Eagles are playing at, it's going to be at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles on July 15th, if you're so inclined. Just want to give you the heads up.
And that's also who? Fleetwood Mac is playing?
The Who? I don't think The Who is playing.
No. I'm saying who else is on the bill.
No, I told you, who isn't Fleetwood on the bill? The Who is not on the bill.
Steely Dan, I think, is playing.
Steely Dan playing with the Eagles? Oh, mm-hmm. it's going to be a rumble.
A bloodbath?
They hate each other. It's going to be a rumble. Stab it with the steely knives, we just can't kill the beast.
That's right.
It's beef. They have a beef, Kevin.
I know. I hear you.
I don't think you hear me.
I hear you.
What if the Carpenters will be playing?
I'm sure
unlikely.
They will.
They fit
day
right in.
After day.
Unlikely.
HBO's ordered a new series off of the success of The Young Pope, which was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah. They brought you a new series called The New Pope.
Oh.
See, the first Pope was young.
Uh-huh.
This one is new.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's that Pope? It's Jess. The new Pope. No word yet on who will be the new Pope. They may do a whole complete new series about popiness, or they may bring Jude Law back to reprise his role as the Pope. So we got to wait and see. But that's exciting news. Right?
Right.
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 And that's it. I'm done.
Look at all the rappers standing by ready to get on
the air.
I
know.
It's
going
to be good.
That's why I thought I wanted to go. Just exciting news about The Flash, the Flash movie. We'll talk about that in the next Showbiz Beat. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nikki Reed is 29 years old today. Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block is 47. Trent Reznor is 52. Craig Ferguson celebrates his 52nd birthday. Sugar Ray Leonard is 61, as is our buddy Bob Saget.
Stop it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Matt Money Smith joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock, talking about the Lakers getting their wish and the number two pick in the 2017 NBA draft last night. A lot of people were very nervous about that. We'll find out why it matters coming up. First, though, let's take care of some business and give out some tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 Saturday at StubHub Center. What are we calling this game, Kevin?
Yo Weenie Raps.
So you want to win some ticks for Weenie in the pit? Call up Bean and Kevin Dog and let them hear you spit. If your flow is tight and sick, hot fire, that is mean. You can drop the mic at Weenie 2017. Yo Weenie Raps.
Thank you, Beer Mug. I love it when white people rap, and that's why I always enjoy this feature. That's the phone number. We got a bunch of people standing by ready to do their thing. Who's up first?
First is Ron in Covina. Hi, Ron.
Yo, 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 all you party people. This is Rappin' Ron straight out of Covina.
All of the great rappers are named Ron, by the way, so I'm very much looking forward to this. Now, are you doing an original one for us here?
This is an original one straight out of this morning's show that you guys are putting on.
Okay.
All right. Can't wait. Very excited. Thank you.
Here's Ron. Go.
I love K-Rock. I'm a listener for life, but that Ralph Garman makes me want to follow my knife. His wife is cool, but he's got to go. The carpenters are creepy. We all know. Check out If I Were a Carpenter. It's more K-Rock speed, filled with new alternative artists that we all need. Sonic Youth, the Cranberries, and Sheryl Crow are artists that K-Rock listeners all know. Like the Weenie Roasty Fiesta that's in 3 days. I love every band. Can't wait for the first one played.
Come on now. Okay. He had a lot packed in there. A lot of big message.
Did I hear a Cranberries reference in that?
I thought I did. All right, Ron, hang on. You're in the running, my friend. Let's try, how about Janessa in Corona up next, line two, please. Hey, Janessa.
Hi. I'm laughing from Ron's rap.
Ron was great, right?
That was fantastic.
All right, what do you got for us?
All right, so I'm another white rapper.
Okay, good.
So here we go. My name is Janessa, and I need to go to the 2017 K-Rock Weenie Roast. Cage the Elephant in Dream Car 2. It's the Weenie Roast, and I drove my V-Dub too. I love Paramore, Lorde, and Lana Del Rey, and if I win the tickets, I'll yell, hooray!
Great finish. I like that, Janessa. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Let's go straight to L.A., get Lewis on the line. He's line three.
Hey, Lewis.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
A lot of competition here this morning. What are you going to do for us?
Rap.
All right.
Yo, Weenie Raps!
You came to the right place. Let's hear it.
Lord, I pray for Lana Del Rey. As I drove in my dream car, did I imagine a dragon or Andrew McCone in the wilderness? Nah, it was just Incubus. I looked at my watch and it was 3:11. Damn, time to cage the elephant. And you know that we're pissed. Glad it wasn't the revivalist. Damn you, politics. And you know what I'm buying when it comes to Judah and the Lion? And just like King of Mexico, God, I adore my Paramore.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Come on, look at that.
I loved it.
That was
worked in every band.
That was really impressive, Lewis. Wow, you hang on, my friend. How
pretty
about that?
Sweet. All right. Let's go to Daniel Woodland Hills up next, line four.
Hey, Daniel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What up, what up?
What up is?
Yo Weenie Raps!
Yo Weenie Raps.
Well said.
You know, right. Or this.
Yo Weenie Raps!
I want to hear Kevin's rap now.
All right, Daniel, let's hear it, my friend.
All right, it's No the Carpenters, but here it goes.
All right.
What up, Ali, Ralph, Kevin, and Bean? Here's a little story. I got to come clean. I've been calling for weeks just to get in. These Weenie Roast tickets, I really want to win. To tell you the truth, this week I made a boo-boo. I accidentally called for tickets to you, too. But 311, Paramore, Incubus, and Lorde, I've heard them on the radio, and I want more. If I win these tickets, I'm sure going to boast, because I'll be going to the Weenie Roast.
This is a tremendous batch. You guys.
I mean, really.
These are great.
We don't do this contest so people are good.
No, someone needs to suck it up.
We want to laugh at you.
I mean,
come on now.
Now I'm just going to be sad for the ones
right.
that don't win.
Insane. This whole game has gone south. Let's go to Eddie in Los Angeles. Hi, Eddie.
Eddie, please blow.
Hello, Eddie. Okay, good. We got to hang on.
Eddie.
Okay, good.
Sweet.
All right.
Finally, woo! Someone didn't impress us. All right, how about Palmdale's Steven? Maybe he can suck.
Hey, Steven.
You all want my Weenie Raps.
Yo, Weenie Raps!
All right, let's hear it.
All right. cruising in my dream car on my way to Winnie Roast with Andrew McMahon in the wilderness when we saw an incubus, Judah and the lion trying to cage an elephant while Lana Del Rey asked para more. Lord, please bring new politics to stop it.
All right, that was kind of an abrupt ending, but all right. Also very good. Right. Thank you, Stephen. That's more than I expected out of Palmdale, I'll tell you that.
Oh, come on.
All right, how about let's get some 909 up in here. Let's get to John on line 7, please.
Hey, John.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Poop Dog.
All right, Poop Dog.
Hey,
Poop
Dog.
Yo, Weenie Raps. All right, you ready? Go.
All right, Andrew McMahon in the wilderness. That chick from Paramore is who I like to kiss. 311 times, cage my elephant. Kevin and Bean, I won't burn your toast if you send me to the K-Rock Weenie Rose. Kev Row Records, y'all.
He's got a rap name. He's got a rap name, and he's got a record label at the end.
And he's not going to burn our toast.
All right, Poop Dog, hang on. Let's do one more. Let's go to Los Angeles again. This is going to be Raul, our final contestant for Yo Weenie Raps.
Hey, Raul.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. I mean, we're a little disappointed because we were hoping that these raps would suck, and then we could all laugh and have a good time, but they're all pretty good.
They're all pretty good. They're all pretty good. Obviously, a lot of competition out there today.
All right, good luck.
Yo Weenie Raps!
Here's Raul.
All right, good morning, L.A. I love K-Rock. I love the Weenie Roast. Kevin and Bean, you know I love the most. It's the Incubus and Paramore. So many bands and so much in store. I hope you guys enjoyed my little rap. Now, Kevin and Bean, you guys can take it back.
Okay, right. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Raul, our final contestant here. So now we've got some hard work to do here. Allie, your little ears perked up at your man Lewis on line 3.
I did like that.
If we all agree on one person, that person wins. If we don't all agree, then we have to do a drawing.
They were all great.
They were all great.
I feel like he brought it.
I love Lewis, too, but I like so many of the others, and it pains me that they don't even get a chance because their raps were so good. I feel like they should at least be in a drawing.
Okay.
What do you guys think? Because then nobody can yell at us if it's random, right?
No.
I'm just worried about people yelling at you.
Ron and Janessa and Lewis and Daniel, Stephen and John and Raul, all thank you so much for listening and for rapping. Only one will win tickets in the pit for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta on Saturday at StubHub. Allie McKay, break a lot of listeners' hearts, but make one very happy. Who wins?
Congratulations, Stephen.
Stephen! Congrats, Stephen.
Yeah! Hell yeah, dude! I'm taking my wife and daughter. Well, they're going to go.
All right.
You only get two tickets. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, I know. It's two tickets. I'm going to figure out a way to get the other one in.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you,
thank
Stephen.
You guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks for playing the game.
Yo Weenie Raps!
Hey, it's Wednesday, you guys. You know what that means.
We love bad animal voices.
That's right. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, like we do. And then the always hilarious Rob Hubel is going to be joining us just after 9. He's in the new Baywatch movie, which it's going to be great, right?
It looks awesome to me.
It's going to be great, yeah. And not just because of my sweet Zach. I mean, everything about that movie looks great.
Dear Lord.
I am going to make a confession here, you guys. I try to stay current, as you know. This is Bean speaking. I'm not like Kevin. Kevin doesn't watch the news because he's a kid. I do watch the news, and I try to pay attention. I try to understand what's going on. I am so in over my head trying to understand the NBA draft lottery. I don't get it at all.
How it works, who gets what pick.
Yes, I don't understand it.
Yeah, how are the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals and they get the first pick? Shouldn't a bad team get it?
That's what I'm thinking, too. So we thought we'd get our expert on, our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. And he knows all things Lakers, and I'm glad you're on with us today, Money. How are you, my friend?
By the way, listen, B.A., freaking Boston Alley.
What?
How are the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals if they have the number one pick? Oh, isn't that an interesting
just felt like dropping that in there. You like it?
But that's a legitimate question, though. I thought the lottery was for the bad teams so you get some parity in the league.
There is actually there is a connection between the Celtics and the Lakers. The Celtics got the number one pick because of a past trade. They traded the nucleus of their championship team, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, to the Brooklyn Nets, who wanted to make a run while they thought those two guys still had something to offer. And they sent them a whole bunch of future first-round picks, 5 years down the road. Oh, we won't care about these things in 5 years. Well, turns out 5 years later, they're the worst team in the league. And the Boston Celtics are now cashing in on that trade.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and the Lakers were in the same situation yesterday, which is why people were freaking out. And it really is. I don't know if it's – I'm sure it's archived somewhere. But if you can find that half-hour draft lottery show, I mean, Magic Johnson as a rookie starts at center in the NBA Finals and goes for 42-17, right?
Right.
And he was freaking out. I mean, losing his S. He's biting his lip. You could see he couldn't get comfortable because the Lakers were in a similar situation. The trade that brought Steve Nash to L.A. when they tried to build that super team was for 2 first-round draft picks. Well, if it doesn't land in the top three in the lottery yesterday, the Lakers pick, that pick then gets sent away and they lose it.
Okay, so explain to me why. I don't understand why. They have to be in the top three or they get nothing?
Because those were the terms of the deal. Hey, we'll trade you this first-round pick, but we're going to protect it for top three. That's usually that's what most teams do.
Okay.
The Nets were just idiots for not doing that. I mean, anytime you send a draft, a first-round draft pick out, the normal, you know, I guess, terms of the agreement are, oh, we're going to protect the top three. You know, that's kind of how you just cut the grass in case you do get really bad in a hurry and you don't want to lose out. Because that's what the draft is. It's not 15 guys. It's really two or one. Maybe if you're lucky, three guys that you feel like could make an immediate impact and be superstars.
Now, I saw the percentages yesterday were about 15% that the Lakers would get number one or number two or number three.
Yeah, so you combine all those three and it ends up being 45%. And that's why they ended up with a number two pick. And the reason it's a big deal is because we know who this is going to be. I mean, it's Lonzo Ball. It's a guy who electrified Pauley Pavilion, made UCLA basketball, even though they didn't win the Pac-12. They didn't win the Pac-12 tournament, and they only made it to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. It didn't matter because he was that fun to watch. And you've got Vince Vaughn courtside and you know, nameless Snoop Dogg, and all of these people are now courtside at Pauley freaking Pavilion, which had been essentially a ghost town for the last 10 years.
Okay, so...
Were you doing math? Yes, I was trying to take it all in.
It did make sense. I mean, there's a lot going on here. So I want to make sure, just to put a final point on it, because I am a big dummy on this topic. So there was no possibility yesterday other than top three. That had already been decided. The Lakers were guaranteed top three. It was just a question. The drama was what was going to be whether it was one. In other words, the Balls could have not gotten the top three. But the Balls could have come out and they could have been 24th?
They could have had nothing.
Yeah.
That's why it was such a big deal. If they did not get one of the top three picks, their pick would have been conveyed to another team. I'm not going to get into what the other team was.
So any pick fourth down, they lose. They don't get anything.
And was that random like a lottery? Yeah. Like a lottery? That was a random thing. It's not fixed.
You tell me, Bean. How random is it, right? The Chicago Bulls stink. They have like a 9% chance of getting the number one pick. Who's the number one pick? Oh, it's Derrick Rose, who was a high school star in Chicago, and the Bulls aren't relevant, right? Oh, the Chicago Bulls won the lottery. you go back to Cleveland. LeBron James, the most excitement we've ever had around a high school player entering the draft. And, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had a 12% chance of winning the lottery, win the lottery.
So you're suggesting this whole thing is just pre-planned by what they think will make the NBA the most money?
I am.
It
certainly seems coincidental. You know, there are many observers. It is over, you know, the Ernst & Young, the fine firm Ernst & Young,
sure,
oversees the lottery and all of that. And we know nothing can go wrong when those type of
correct, right?
Awards. So they say it's all on the up and up. It just seems awfully convenient.
It sure seems suspicious.
All right.
Last question on this, and then we'll talk more about Lonzo. And that is, when Magic Johnson is running around, and he's what, operations manager, and the general manager of the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, when they're running around talking about how hard they've been working over the past few weeks to ensure this number two, what does that mean? What could they have done to influence it? How hard were they working?
Clearly you don't understand basketball. They were trying to get all the positive energy directed their way.
They make it sound like they're spending 16 hours a day working hard to ensure this number two pick. But if it's just if it's Balls coming up, I mean,
yeah, I think Magic looks at Rob Pelinka and just goes, "You need to get tanner." And Rob looks at Magic and says, "You need to smile more." That's basically all they could do. if you believe, in fact, it is a random problem.
Here's what I do love about Magic, though. They did ask him about the Celtics getting picked number one, and he says, "I still hate them. I'll always hate them."
Yeah,
I love that.
And that was Petros' contention. He's like, "Listen, the NBA is not going to allow their favorite son, Magic Johnson, to sit up there, lose his pick, watch him freak out, and then have to figure out how to navigate an interview." And that's what I was really pulling for. I'm not pulling for the Lakers to lose or to be bad. What I really wanted was Magic having to think on his feet in the moment when a microphone is put in his face. Oh. If they say, "Hey, you lost your pick," That really sucks. What do you have to say about that?
Very much like you believe in a conspiracy here.
It does. It sounds like this whole thing's the WWE, Matt.
Selfishly, for all of us, this is going to be great. It really is, because the Lakers have to pick Lonzo Ball. He's good enough that, passing on him, making Chino Hills High School a national brand, and returning excitement to Pauley Pavilion and electrifying, one of the most proud college basketball bases in the sport. Pass on that, you can't afford to do
it. Is there any chance that the Celtics are like, woo-hoo-hoo, suck it, Lakers, we're taking Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, they may, but, and not to, throw names around that nobody really knows, but there's a kid out of Washington, Markelle Fultz, that pretty much everybody agrees is as good a prospect we've seen in a long, long time. Lonzo has his faults. He's got a weird shot, even though they go in. There's the LeVar, his father.
Does his dad go to the Lakers as well?
Of course.
I mean, that's the thing, It's like, that's the big winner. This is a guy who passed on about $7 million worth of shoe contracts from Nike or Adidas or whoever, launched his own shoe line, made an ass of himself doing the rounds, trying to explain how they're going to, sell $500 shoes and how Lonzo's better than Kobe ever was, things like that. But he's our guy. And by our, I mean L.A., Chino Hills and UCLA. And I think what will happen is Laker fans will take a bit of pride in that. Like, hey, man, you don't like him? F you. He's ours.
Right.
Lonzo's ours, and you're all just jealous. So it really worked out for LeVar and Lonzo Ball.
What if he's the
biggest
bust?
Really worked out.
Shut up, Allie.
I'm just saying. What if? That's amazing.
They could, Allie.
She's saying, what if he's a bust?
What if he's the biggest bust ever?
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody would be surprised, because guys at the top of the draft, look at D'Angelo Russell. He was a number two overall pick, right? The Lakers have two number two picks on their roster. Do you have any idea who they are? And I don't mean that like in a smart ass way, but they're not stars.
There's a lot of times when you look back 10 years ago and you don't recognize any of the names that were number one, number two, number three in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, a guy that was number one overall in 2013 is no longer in the league. That was 4 years ago. He is not in the league. Anthony Bennett is no longer in the league, and he was a number one. I mean, the Clippers selected the Candy Man, Michael Olowokandi, at number one overall. No, the Candy, that's probably a bad sign when you're playing basketball and you're known as the Candy Man. It's not going to work out all right for you. So, yes, number one, number two picks, they bust out all the time.
All right. Do you see that in his future?
I don't know. I mean, I know it's impossible to tell,
but you got to guess.
I'll tell you this. I really enjoyed watching him play at UCLA. I mean, I really, really loved watching UCLA basketball when he was out there. He is exciting to watch. He sees the floor well. He's a playmaker. He's big. And I think if they go in a different direction, I can throw a bunch of names at you. I won't. Then people will just be like, what the hell? That's what makes this so exciting. It's predetermined. There's nothing the Lakers can do about it. Even if they say, yeah, we like this De'Aaron Fox guy a little bit more. Boy, is he fast, and he reminds us of John Wall. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. You are taking, and we get LeVar, and we get Lonzo, and we get the whole sideshow, and I think we all win because of it.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there, Matt. Thank you for explaining this to me. I really appreciate it. Petros and Money Radio Show.
I think you're more confused than you were before.
AM 570, LA Sports. Look for him this afternoon. We'll talk to you soon, Money.
All right. You got it, guys.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Sweet,
this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9.
Piggy.
I don't know why you're saying that. We don't know where the wheel is going to land, Ralph.
Right. Yeah, just reading the wheel here. I just saw what you added.
Yeah.
Piggy Smalls?
No.
Piggy Smalls is gone. I'm sorry.
All right. What's on the wheel this time around, Kevin? It is Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, so it means it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Boo!
The stray emu causing traffic on a New Mexico highway.
It's easy for you to say.
Good. Blue, the therapy pig for the elderly. Okay. The CIA cat spying on Russia.
I'm still intrigued by that one.
We really need to talk to Spike Guy.
Kionda, the 410-pound dancing gorilla.
Oh, that one makes me sad.
I'm glad they added the 10, too. 400-pound gorilla wouldn't be able to really get across how big the gorilla is.
But it's 410.
That's right. 410, now I get it.
I hope it doesn't land on the human-eating deer.
That
deer is sinister, man.
What about the horse born with the outline of another horse on his back?
All right. I'm going to come over. I'm going to slap that wheel right out of your hand.
Let's do it.
Is that the horse that has...
What?
Oh, wait.
I was asking if that's the horse that has the legs growing out of his neck. Did you see the picture of that this week?
What?
Yes.
Let's put that on next week.
Can't wait. All right. Let's do it.
It's time for the... Yeah! It's gonna land.
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, let's spin that wheel. See who we're gonna talk to. Come on, human-eating deer.
It'd be so fun, wouldn't it? It's Blue, the therapy pig for the elderly.
No kidding!
Here's the news story.
You've probably heard about pet therapy at some point. Usually it's a dog that's trained to go into, say, nursing homes or help people who need physical therapy. But as the Now's Tanya Rogers reports today, it's not just canines that are helping people.
Blue, a pot-bellied pig, is hard at work. Her job is cheering up seniors at an assisted living facility.
To get out of their element, they're not thinking about their pain anymore. They're not thinking about their depression.
Jahira Zamora noticed something different about Blue the pig.
She's always been, we've trained a lot since she was really little, and she's always just been very sweet, very obedient. She reads emotions so well.
She reads emotions?
Aww. I love the little therapy pig. That's adorable. Now, are we talking to her trainer or somebody at the old folks' home where Blue the therapy pig works, or who's on the line?
Jahira Zamora, the owner.
Are we?
Is that right? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this you own Blue the pig?
Listen to me, ass.
You sound like a pig.
Hey, good for you.
Oh, this is Blue.
I'm Blue.
Blue.
I'm Blue the therapy pig.
Yes, you are.
And I'm great because I'm just like a dog.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Whatever they want to defend a pig to people, they always say it's just like a dog.
Is that offensive
to
you?
Similar.
No, I understand it because pigs blow.
Why would you say that? You are a pig.
But I'm a special pig. Most pigs are a-holes.
Now, according to your owner, you can really sense people's moods. Is that true?
Yes, because it's always the same mood. The mood of, what the F is a pig doing in my house?
But don't you go to the old folks' home and they pet you and they play with you and you make their cares go away?
Is that what he does? Yes, I make their cares go away.
That's so sweet.
I can read their emotions though when I'm there.
Right.
And their emotions are, oh, I wish this was a dog. They always have.
Now, does it help?
They're
always
disappointed when a pig comes in because they were hoping for a golden retriever.
Oh. Does it help that you've learned a number of tricks?
Nope.
That doesn't help?
I mean, it's better than not knowing tricks. At the end of the day, I'm a pig playing a piano.
Yeah.
That's so much cuter if it was a dog. Let's
you think
it.
So? You sit, you kiss, you bow,
yeah,
you play
who
piano.
Yeah,
you
get kissed by a pig.
Right.
That's the greatest.
That's a sweet kiss.
Like a sweaty, wet nose on your face as I kiss you. Good time for these old people. Pray for death.
Now, you mentioned playing piano. What is that exactly?
It's a piano?
That you play?
That I play.
I didn't see that coming.
Too confusing for you.
Do you know any tunes?
Sure I do.
Okay.
That's why I play piano, because I know tunes.
I gotcha. Yes. All right, and do the old people love it when you play the piano?
They can't get enough of it. They really seem happy to see me today, by the way. I'm here at the home. And
you're there now?
Yeah.
Oh, what's happening?
Smell. Something smells delicious.
Oh no. No. Mm. Blue, no.
Oh, smells like bacon.
Oh, Blue. No. No, get out of there.
No.
Make a run for it. This is terrible. Oh, the humanity.
It's also taking a long time.
Flip him over.
The upside is I'm finally useful.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54, right? Right.
Your tickets in the pit for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 Saturday at StubHub Center in 5 minutes. Then we'll talk to the great Rob Hubel. By the way, isn't Rob Hubel one of those guys? You look at his IMDb and you go, he's been in everything I love. He's that guy, right?
Yep.
So very excited to have Rob back on the show. First, Rob's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
There's some people who, whenever they're in a project, automatically make it better.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And Rob is one of those people.
Agreed.
Always fun. Boy, it makes me laugh.
And this looks like a great movie on top of it.
It does. You know what else looks good? Let's not say good. Let's say interesting. This remake of Get Shorty, which, of course, was the book by Elmer Leonard, and then they made it into a movie starring John Travolta. And now they're doing a TV series on Epics Cable beginning in August. It's a 10-episode series, stars Chris O'Dowd, who I love.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
As a hitman from Nevada who becomes a movie producer in Hollywood as a means to leave his criminal past behind. And that's when he meets Ray Romano's character, Rick, a washed-up producer of low-quality films who becomes his partner. So it looks like there's some potential with those two guys.
Sure.
No. Oh, used to be criminal, Deborah.
I don't think Deborah made it.
She's in everything.
I don't think so.
There's no him. Without him, there's no Deborah.
I don't think she's in everything.
She's in everything he does.
I don't think so.
Anyway, that's coming out in August, and I just saw a little piece on it. I said, I would like to watch those two together, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV, it's official. Arrested Development is coming back for another season on Netflix.
So excited about that.
Season 5. Like it's going to launch in 2018, so we got a minute to wait, but still.
Come on!
I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait a little bit, but it's
come on!
Worthwhile.
What was your rating on season 4, Ralph?
I was happy to see everybody back together again. Mm-hmm. I did not think it was as strong as the original run of the show.
But it was better than nothing.
But it was so great just to live in that world again for a bit.
Yes.
That was fun.
All of the above. And I'm looking forward to the same here. I can't imagine I can be disappointed in any way. This is encouraging news. You know, the DC movie franchise has been beleaguered, has been dealing with a lot of ups and downs, mm-hmm. has not been smooth.
Has not caught fire the way their friends at Marvel have.
A lot of fitful misstarts, mishaps. Ups and downs. No film yet, really, since the Chris Nolan Batman films have sort of taken off, either financially or critically. Batman v Superman was a struggle. Man of Steel was a struggle. Justice League is rumored to be having some difficulty. Suicide Squad was met with mixed reaction. Wonder Woman looks to be perhaps the savior of the DC movie universe.
I agree.
And no film has been more beset with problems than The Flash. Flash was supposed to happen. They had a writer who dropped out, and then they had a director who dropped out, and then another of each. And it looks like now we're finally getting a director that we can get behind for the film, The Flash. It will still star Ezra Miller, who will play the character just like he will in the upcoming Justice League movie. This will be a standalone Flash movie directed by Robert Zemeckis, who gave us the Back to the Future franchise.
All right.
And Forrest Gump and many, many other outstanding films.
I'm in.
He's A+, that guy.
Yes, and also he has a sense of taking fantastic material like the Back to the Future franchise and injecting it with a certain amount of fun. And I think maybe that's what this franchise could use. So that's encouraging news, I think, that Robert Zemeckis will be directing. I think we're all happy about that, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
You know what I'm not happy about?
The Carpenters?
No, I'm very happy about them.
Right, that's what I meant. Your wife's.
We've only just right begun. On.
Sorry, I brought it up.
To live.
Apologize for that.
A kiss for luck and
right,
we're
right.
On
sorry, my
our
bad.
Way.
You were saying, you were doing another story.
Speaking of singing, beautifully, just like Karen Carpenter.
Right.
Catherine McPhee also sings beautifully.
Yes.
But I'm not sure I can get behind this this new romance.
She is. I thought she was with her co-star from the show.
Ah. Bah.
What's their show?
Bean, stick around.
Scorpion?
Bah. Scorpion. I thought she was with her co-star from
old,
Scorpion.
That's old news.
I didn't realize they'd broken up.
Yes.
Try to stay current.
Sorry.
And of course, she was married to a dude in his like 50s.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Now she's moving on to, reportedly, music producer David Foster.
Another dude in his 60s.
67.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought he was dating Christie Brinkley.
Right? Nope. They were seen together in Malibu recently in a date which, according to onlookers, was loaded with PDA.
And what's probably the DNA, too, right? Who's with me?
I mean, what's the age difference there? 40 years?
He is 67 years old. She is 33 years old. Okay. That would make it a 34-year age difference. I'm just saying, if I knew she was into old dudes, right? Would have made my move years ago.
When you were old?
She married an old dude. She's dating an older dude.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Who knew?
You're not old enough.
That's true. Problem. Much too youthful and beautiful for her at this age.
Wait for like 30 years and then hit it on her.
David Foster, of course, is a legendary music producer who's been around forever. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he also had a hand in somehow, some way, with the record deals that were being handed out over there at American Idol at some point.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, looks like they're a couple. And I can't say I'm on board.
Yeah.
He's been married a bunch of times, too, already.
Yeah, one of his exes is on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yolanda Hadid.
Okay.
Who is the mother of the Hadid girls.
No kidding.
Huh. Bella, right? Bella Hadid and Gigi.
Is it Gigi?
Well, I heard it on the radio.
I think it's Gigi.
I heard on the radio a guy said Gigi Hadid. Model Gigi Hadid, he said. I heard a guy.
Right, but that guy could not be counted on. So.
Well,
maybe a little double checking.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Bob Saget, 61 years old today. Sugar Ray Leonard is 61. Craig Ferguson, 55 years old today. Singer Trent Reznor is 52. Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block, 47 years old. And actress Nikki Reed, she's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Once again, a reminder, Thursday morning, that's tomorrow, right here on KROQ at 7 a.m., the band Muse is going to be here with a brand new song. Man, it's been a long time. We've been waiting for these guys.
Yes, it has.
And I love them. They're so fun when they come in, too.
Yep.
So new Muse music right at 7 a.m., and the band will be here with us in studio as we premiere that for you tomorrow right here on KROQ. Right now, though, we were just talking a couple of minutes ago in anticipation of Mr. Hubel getting on the phone. This is a dude who makes every show he's in better, and he's always in great shows. Look at this. Comedy Bang Bang, Trunk History, The League, Workaholics, Children's Hospital, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, Transparent, The Goldbergs, American Dad, Blunt Talk. The list just goes on and on and on. He's in theaters right now with How to Be a Latin Lover, and next weekend you can see him as Captain Thorpe in Baywatch. Let's welcome back Rob Hubel to the Kevin Bean Show. What's up, Rob?
Hey-o. What's up, everybody? How are you guys?
Not a lot of people start with the hey-o.
You know, we used to have Ed McMahon on the show back in the day all the time, Rob. We're actually friends with Ed McMahon. And that was a little Ed McMahon vibe to that.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
We might all be dating ourselves with that reference, but
right?
That's cool.
How
are you guys doing?
We are good.
We're doing fine. Yeah. And I want to start before we get into the nonsense that is Baywatch to tell you how we were all so on the edge of our seats pulling for you and your wife and your new daughter with that whole thing came down. And I mean,
dude, thank you so much. That's so nice of you. Yeah, our daughter was born 3 months early, which is really scary.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She is all good to go. I mean, the miracle of modern science, thank God we have insurance. She was able to, you know, she was in the hospital for a few months in the NICU, but God bless her doctors, she's all good to go.
The NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, those people I think are better at taking care of parents than they are of kids.
Yeah.
Because you're scared out of your mind and your baby's sitting there, right?
It is so scary. It is the scariest thing. And, of course, you know, your baby, when it's born that early, is so tiny. Like, the tiniest little, most fragile person. But all of those doctors and nurses, we were over at Cedars here in L.A., like, they are just so good. I can't, obviously we can't thank them enough. So it all turned out well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned them, because that's one of the reasons we choose them as one of the charities that we support here on the Kevin and Bean Show when we do our comedy shows and everything like that. We've raised a lot of money over the years for them because they are absolutely worth it. So I'm very happy for you and the little girl. She weighed less than 2 pounds when she was born, right?
Dude, she came out and you could like hold her in one hand. She was so tiny, and I have a hard time even talking about it without like getting choked up. But she's in the other room right now, pooping in her pants. And,
all right.
How rude.
Yeah, screaming like a maniac. So she's like a full-blown baby now with, like, all the back talk and super sassy.
Sweet.
And, like, doesn't want to do what I tell her to do.
Uh-huh.
She is awesome.
That's
the other
great.
Thing is crazy. I will tell you one thing that's funny about the NICU babies is like they become so tough because they have to go through so much. Like we took her to the doctor yesterday and she got all of these vaccinations and shots. Did not flinch or cry.
Like and she was like, "Is that all you got?"
Yeah, she literally. Yeah, one time we took her to the eye doctor, and they had to do the thing where it's like from Clockwork Orange, where they hold their eyeball open with a little thing. Did not cry. Like it was crazy. We were like, "This is the toughest baby. She's going to be like a ultimate fighting. She's going to be like Ronda Rousey."
Rob, I think you should. You might be afraid of her.
It sounds like it.
Maybe you should be afraid of her.
Yeah, she's a robot. She's a little Terminator.
And I just want to thank you for making me feel better about my Ed McMahon reference with your Clockwork Orange throwback.
Dude, that was a deep cut. That was deep.
All right, speaking of movies, look, when we heard that they were making a Baywatch movie, like most of the people, we said, why? And then started hearing who was in it, and then the trailer started coming out, and now it's one of the movies we are most looking forward to this year. I mean, you've been in a lot of awesome stuff. This looks incredible, right, Rob?
Well, anytime you get the chance to make a movie with the future president of the United States of America,
right?
You've got to take that chance. The Rock is, I can't tell if he's joking or not, but I would totally vote for him because otherwise he would probably kick my ass.
Yeah, I think we're all afraid of him.
But the movie is super funny. Those guys are all, it's Zac Efron, it's The Rock, and then all of these beautiful, gorgeous ladies that have to wear bikinis the whole time. I do not wear a bikini, which is good
news. Aw, come on.
I know.
What a quitter.
I'm like the a-hole boss of the lifeguard, so I got to like not be in shape at all and
Sweet.
Wear a suit on the beach. And meanwhile, like all of those guys, when they would, when they're shooting the scene, they're like, okay, cut. And then those guys literally, they would all take out those workout bands and they would start pumping up their arms to keep themselves like ripped in between takes.
Okay,
like,
that's annoying. That's a little annoying.
That's too much commitment.
It was crazy. And they were all on this like, very regimented diet where they were all eating like rice and like bison meat at 10:30 and 10:20 and 11:30 like it was and meanwhile I'm over there like drinking beer and like at craft services like eating Doritos
well no yeah. one else was so
I know I had all so much stuff
all right I have to ask this is the voice of our friend Rob Hubel back on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his film Baywatch which opens up everywhere in theaters next Thursday right so ahead of Memorial Day weekend you're going to be able to see it starting Thursday and I have to ask, man, be honest here. Who's hotter in person, Alexandra Daddario, Priyanka Chopra, or Zac Efron?
Wow, that's a great question. I gotta go with Daddario.
Daddario, okay.
I was gonna say for for comedy reasons, of course, I was gonna say Efron. He is intimidatingly handsome. I will say, like, you look at him. And he has those sort of blue eyes that are like made out of lasers or something. Like they, they shoot out and they hit you in the back of your brain, and it's very difficult to talk to him. But Alexandra is all of those. Ones, and Kelly Rohrbach is in the movie.
Oh,
like
right,
all
right.
of this. I was shooting this movie at the time. My wife was pregnant. And so my wife would call and be like, what's going on? How's the movie? And, I would be standing around with all of these supermodels in bikinis, and I would be like, oh, it's terrible. This is the worst job. I hate it.
I'm only here for you, honey.
I'm just doing it for you, sweetheart. It was a blast to do the movie. And I got to say that, like, those guys are, when you see the movie, of course, whenever you see like an 80s remake, you're like, why did they make this movie? But this is right along the lines of like 21 Jump Street, where it's very self-aware. It's totally making fun of itself. And it's directed by the guy who directed Horrible Bosses. So it's super funny. The Rock is so dang funny, man. Like, I get to play his boss. So I kept doing this bit with him that I got in trouble for it because it turned out it was kind of pissing him off. But, like,
excellent.
I would do the stuff where I would go up and I would get right in his face
and I would like talk trash to him, and I would improvise all this stuff, and then kind of like bump shoulders with him, you know, when I would walk by him. And it was funny like the first couple times, but then after a while, I guess he, you know, he comes from the wrestling world, and he's like, he could kill me. He could literally kill me.
Without knowing it.
Without knowing it. So like the next day, the director came up to me and he was like, hey man, just like a little bit of advice. Try to take it down a notch with like, you know, intimidating The Rock. He's not that cool with that. he thinks you're really funny, but just don't get up in his face like that. So I was like, okay, message received. I'm not going to do that again.
Tell me about Zac Efron, because Bean loves him for other reasons, but I originally saw him in High School Musical. My daughters would watch that all the time, and I thought, okay, this is a singing, dancing guy that I will never be interested in. And he has grown into a really great comedic actor. I think he's really funny.
I think he's super funny, man. Like, I think a lot of people don't yet know that about him, because he is, you know, when you look at someone that sort of comes in that package, it's like, okay, I know what this is, like a super, you know, built guy who's like handsome and, you know, High School Musical. But just comedy-wise, he's just really one of those guys that can do all of that now. Like, I think it, you know, he sort of grew up in the public eye doing all of this stuff. And so now comedy has just really become pretty second nature to him. So I thought he was hilarious, man. Like, there's going to be so much stuff in this movie. There's, like, they just put out a Red Band trailer, which has a bunch of crazy stuff in it. But he's just a super funny dude, man. I think that he's going to be doing a lot more comedy for sure.
The Red Band trailer is great. You should definitely check it out. And if your fantasy has been to see Rob screaming the F word, this is the trailer for you.
That's always been my fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I get to scream the F word a lot in this movie.
Well, we're super excited. Next Thursday, May 25th, theaters everywhere. Go see the Baywatch film. I can't wait. It sounds great, Robin. We're so happy to catch up with you. It's been too long, my friend. You're welcome anytime on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guys, thanks for having me. And please hit me up if you're going to do anything for the NICU folks. I really want to be a part of it.
We will do that.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rob. Bye now.